Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Lineup is out. Opening day is here. Part two of the three-peat. Let's get it rolling. It's The Beat, 720 WGN.
I think you should have to apologize to Joe Madden before we even start the show.
I absolutely agree.
Because you called me up this morning.
Screaming.
Already mad about a lineup that wasn't even out.
Yeah.
And then it came out, and it was pretty much what you wanted.
Stressing already?
I'm not stressing. I like when things are done the right way in life, and Javi Baez deserved to be in the opening day lineup, and by every expert's opinion, he wasn't going to be in the lineup today. So I bought into the experts, and I slept on Joe Madden, so I'd like to apologize to Joe Madden, because he does have Kyle Schwarber leading off in left field. He's got Chris Bryant at third base. He's got Anthony Rizzo at first. He's got Ben Zobrist in right.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Russell batting fifth at short. He's got Hayward in center. I won't quibble on where he's hitting in the order. I'll leave that alone. Hitting number six in center field. Contreras catching seven. Lester pitching eight. And Baez hitting ninth at second base. Now, I didn't think that he would do the Hayward into center and Javi starting at second, but that's exactly what he should have done. I mean, Albert Elmora Jr., you'll get plenty of time, and so will John Jay, but they didn't belong on the opening day lineup.
Did anyone think that Hayward would be playing center on opening day?
No.
I mean, was that even talked about?
How is that?
It was out there.
It was talked about as something that will happen during the season. From time to time, right?
I don't think anyone
thought it would be opening day.
I just saw it as an option. I mean, it was out there as an option of writers and people who thought that it could happen. So
I mean, it's beautiful. This is I think this is their best lineup. It's not their best defensive lineup, but then you move later in the game, you bring in your defense. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a nice lineup to look at.
It's a solid lineup.
I mean, Schwarber, just to see that name at number one is, I mean, you get this man for a whole entire season. I'm looking forward to it.
I would flip Javi with Hayward and let Jason Hayward bat nine, but
so you're not a big but. See, I love turning the lineup over.
I'm a lineup turnover guy. I like that too.
Because here's the thing:
Javi's a power guy, middle of the order.
Yes, he is.
But look, you got a pitcher batting eighth. There's a good chance that you're gonna. I guarantee you, one of the innings tonight starts with Javi leading off, and then Schwarber's batting second, and then Chris Bryant's batting third, and then Rizzo's batting fourth. See how that flips? So you turn that lineup over.
I get excited.
I guarantee you Joe Madden had his Apple Pencil out this morning that I heard him talking about on his iPad, drawing out his lineup.
Expensive.
Oh, Joe Madden's going new era.
That's what I'm talking about.
Screw a lineup card.
What is the Apple Pencil?
I got one right here. I'll show it to you.
You don't know what the Apple Pencil is?
I don't get the Apple Pencil.
Right, so I can't. Okay.
Whoa.
Exactly.
So if you don't know what the Apple Pencil is, it looks like a joystick that's very large. It's contained in a
the
joystick.
Box, yes.
Okay, so it's a normal looking pencil.
It was
pencil.
In a case.
Okay, well,
you thought the case was the pencil.
How would you draw with a case looking like that?
Well, I don't know. It's Apple. They're always doing something. It is intuitive, though. It should look like a pencil. I get it. I'm not very technologically talented. Have we ever mentioned it? By the way, I don't know. Do we say that this is 720 WGN, that this is the beat, that this is this is opening day, that we'll be here till 6 o'clock, and don't worry about the Blackhawks loss, no big deal. There's also one other huge piece of news today. Derrick Rose.
Saw it.
Torn meniscus.
Brutal.
Done for the year. Brutal for Derrick Rose. Just brutal.
Real quick.
Yeah.
When he was selected number one overall, did you ever think that this was going to be?
No. No.
In his future?
No. No. You go back. You know what my favorite video to do when I'm bored at work lately? Rose.
Which job?
That would be not this job. Okay. Rose versus Rose versus Westbrook. Mm. They go 3 minutes of Rose highlights before he got hurt. 3 minutes of Russell Westbrook highlights, who is going to finish either one or two in the MVP voting, and they look identical.
Just go to MVP Rose and look that up on YouTube, and you watch that video.
People forget he was a something. So I don't think it's a career ender, but going into a free agent year for Derrick Rose, that's a rough look. And by the way, congrats to the Bulls in the playoffs right now, the 7th seed. How about it? They're playing the Pelicans tonight.
Fun to watch.
Okay.
Yesterday they played really hard.
No, I'm serious.
Hogue is so bothered that Rose just got somehow thrown into the show.
No, I'm not. No, I saw that. Look.
I mean, it's big news.
I've given Derrick Rose a hard time, but I will not debate how much I loved the pick. Loved how good he was when he was early. Loved his MVP. He was everything that the city needed, what the Chicago Bulls needed. And it's not his fault that it didn't work out. I have problems with the way it was handled after that.
Sure.
And some of the things he said and some of the things he prioritized and the way a lot of this stuff was handled from a PR perspective. But you can't kill a guy for getting hurt. None of this is his fault. It's right. Very unfortunate. And I've said multiple times, I think it was one of the saddest stories that
it's a bummer.
In Chicago sports history.
It's a major bummer.
It hurts.
It's borderline. It's not as bad as, say, Gale Sayers back in the day, but it's kind of sort of around it. I mean, Gale was 4.5 years would have been what he would have been.
Yeah.
A lot more than he was. And he was still obviously phenomenal.
But he was able to accomplish more before he got hurt than Derrick Rose.
The timing. So if you look at the timing, Derrick Rose, I mean, was at that time where we're looking at, you know, the internet just blowing up to having Twitter followers all over the place. I mean, he was what he was supposed to do never happened. And you can't blame the injuries. But also, too, I know so many people get mad at him in Chicago, Carm, for the things that he said. You know, people wanted him to speak more. Then he starts to speak. Then they got mad at him for speaking for a kid who just wanted to play basketball. It's heartbreaking.
He'll be back. He had a good year too. He averaged 18
a
night.
This is
no. He'll be back, and he's just not going to make the money that he thought he was going to make. Hopefully, Derrick Rose has saved his dough. Hey, did you look?
I can draw.
Hogue's going Apple pencil right now, just like Joe Maddon.
Carm,
that's awesome. Send him a text.
iMessage. You.
Oh, thank you so much,
Adam.
So glad you're an iPhone
user. And then you can
look at how great that is.
And then what happens? You send that to me?
I don't know. I could.
Yeah.
You can just.
Well, it adjusts to how hard you press. Yeah, I press harder and it's darker. It's great. This is awesome radio, by the way.
Well, I was just about to say that.
I think people were feeling it. The old Apple pencil drawing radio take. You could send that. You could email me. You could text me. One other thing I'd like to just make mention about here before we take our first time out, 312-981-7200. You know, when Michael Jordan retired for the first time and then he came back on a Sunday afternoon against the Indianapolis Pacers, he sent out the fax, "I'm back."
Yeah.
And it's you know, since I've had the fortune to work with you fine gentlemen on the weekends, I basically had to bail out of the USTA tennis because, you know, those matches tend to be at 3 o'clock in the Saturday, Sunday afternoons. But today was noon and I was offered a spot. And so I signed back up on the Springer team and got out there. And I just want to let you all know that I'm back and I've reacclimated to the professional tennis tour.
Where was the email?
I'm sorry. I didn't know how I was going to do, so I didn't want to let people know, but it did pull off a sweet doubles win with my guy June. 4-3.
You legitimately played, though, at Northwestern's tennis facilities.
It's so awesome. The Combi Tennis.
And you won, too?
Did win 4-3. It was a little dicey against Igor and whoever we were playing. Mm-hmm. Igor and Patrick. But we got her done, so I'm back. Hey, more importantly, there's a new team coming to town.
Uh-oh.
It's the WGN-TV evening news team. The evening news team. That would be Ben Bradley. That would be Lourdes Duarte, Demetrius Ivory, and?
Don't know the other guy.
Mark Carmen.
And?
Myself.
Jared Payton, weekdays at 4, starting Tuesday. This coming Tuesday.
Starting this Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
4 p.m.
You're like a legit media guy now.
No, I'm not.
You know, you really are.
I'm excited for it, though. It's going to be something cool. I think we're going to be doing some cool stuff, bringing social media into it. It's going to be not the morning show, but kind of a little bit more like that, some more swag.
So, how long is the show?
Well, I could be on anywhere from 2 times to do sports, but also in to do some stuff with the anchors and talk with Lourdes and also with Ben.
Wait, are you saying Mark Sapelsa doesn't have swag?
He does have swag.
Because he's got plenty of swag.
No, he's got swag. I've seen it. I see it every single day. His dress game is through the roof.
And you're still doing Sports Feed, right?
Still doing Sports Feed and still doing my favorite show, which is...
there it is.
The Beat.
There it is.
Sundays.
There it is.
With my two favorite guys.
All right, it's Cubs opening day. It's White Sox opening day tomorrow.
Okay.
I just had to get that
even
out.
Though it's probably going to get rained out.
Oh, come on.
Look at that smile, man.
I don't care what the prospects are.
It doesn't matter.
I love opening day.
Rebuild starts, man.
I love opening day.
All right. We're going to we got the open phone lines for you, 312-981-7200. This is the first time ever in all our lifetimes that the Chicago Cubs are trying to defend their World Series championship. We're coming on back, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Big guest list today. Adam Hoge, you're super excited about our 335 guest.
It's my guy, Chris Ronji.
What?
Former White Sox pre and post host, former longtime Chicago guy, longer time St. Louis guy, back in St. Louis, doing an afternoon drive down there. And so I feel like he's a perfect guest for today. You got, technically he's a Cardinals guest, right?
Sure.
But he knows both the White Sox and the Cubs very well. So we can hit all angles with him when it comes to baseball. And we can do the same with Brian Kenny at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kenny, Dan Long coming with the biggest guest of the day.
Uh-oh.
Go Dan MLB, Long.
MLB Network.
Bang, bang.
And then Nick Capra, who, if you don't know who Nick Capra is, you should get to know him. He's the White Sox third base coach. But he's actually been in the organization for 22 years now. He was their director of player development. They promoted him. If you heard my interview with Rick Hahn last week, he actually brought Nick Capra up because he said, hey, look, we're trying to develop these guys at the major league level. We thought it made sense to make our director of player development one of our major league coaches. So we'll talk to him at 5. And then Kevin Powell's in St. Louis. We got it covered. The Cubs home, just opener.
Yeah, KP will be there tonight. And here right now he's at Ted Drew's getting an iced custard. And
okay.
then he's going over to the Hill for a little Italian food, and then he's going to make his way to Joe Maddon and Busch Stadium, the new Busch. Have you guys been to the new Busch?
No, I haven't.
Maybe this is the summer. This is the summer.
Road trip?
Road trip, three new baseball stadiums.
I like it.
By the way,
three new? All of us?
Well, I know about all of us.
Or so. Just you.
I
thought you were inviting us, and then it seemed like at the end you didn't.
I mean, I know that I speak in realities. None of us are going anywhere together this summer. That's probably true. Maybe we can do one. One trip.
We can do one.
JP's not there. JP's way too busy.
No, we can do it.
We
let's
can
do it.
Okay.
Why not?
All right, let's do one. Where are we going to go? One time down to Busch?
I want to go to Denver.
Ooh, I've been, but I'd go again. That's
White Sox, Rockies, weekend series in... June or July, I forget, one of the two.
I'm actually curious, who's not going to wait for opening day to see the Cubs? If you're not down in St. Louis, who's going up to Milwaukee this coming weekend? Because I know I will be. I'm going to Miller Park on Friday. I don't know what you guys are doing.
I'll go with you.
Will you go to Miller Park on Friday?
It's like 40 minutes from where I live.
Yeah, and you got the casino right next to it. Not that you have to do that, but it's always a nice option to throw in there. Just a little quick stop.
No gambling.
No. Well, and then you get the nachos at Miller Park. It's always delicious. Price is always right up at Miller Park. Not that far. Come on now. You're a Vernon Hills guy anyway. It's like next door to you.
I was at Miller Park yesterday. By the way, if you are a White Sox fan or a Brewers fan, and you did not go to either of the two games this weekend in Milwaukee, you lost completely because the tickets were $10.
Oof.
$10 tickets.
Probably a buck in the parking lot. $5.
Good seat. Fine. I love how you always go secondary market.
Fine.
But you get in, and they give you a $10 voucher for food and drink.
No.
And I'm going, all right, so I'm assuming you can't use this on beer, you could use it on beer. You could use it on anything.
So that's interesting because I was watching, I didn't know that. I'm watching, White Sox Brewers, and I'm seeing all these people in the stands. I'm like, how are there that many people there? That's why. Yeah.
But the thing is, there weren't that many people there.
I thought there was a good amount for an exhibition game.
Well, but here's what I want to get to. The entire upper deck was closed. They didn't even open it. I thought there would be more people there because you're talking for $10, you just got your a beer for the ticket price of $10, great seats. And opening day was sold out. So, like, if you're a Brewer fan and you didn't get tickets, wouldn't you rather go to a Saturday 1 p.m. game on a beautiful day? We got there a couple hours early, tailgated a little bit outside.
What were you doing up in Milwaukee?
Yeah, that's the
what
other
was
question.
I doing?
Did you drive from Vernon Hills?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Hogan, you are a champion.
Was it three of you or just you and your wife?
It was my wife, James, my son,
Richard,
my brother-in-law.
See, Hoke just does things right. He's just got a nice, solid view of the world. This is a good opportunity. We're going to Milwaukee. We're going to see the Sox. We're going to see the Brewers. We're getting in for 10. We're getting to have a beer.
Yeah.
Freebie.
This is what I'm talking about. How could you not take advantage of this opportunity?
Good job.
$10? Great seat right behind home plate. Free beer.
I love the food there, too. It's a good food.
They they just renovated all their concessions, too. They put like $20
really?
Million in their
really?
Concessions.
So did you just get a normal beer, or was it like a
MKE?
Okay. So it's
Brewing Company. It was a apricot saison.
What do you? How do you feel about Miller Lite leaving? Leaving U.S. Cellular now. Great,
the
great.
Well, if I understand this correctly, it was a little bit of a financial hit, right?
I'm just talking about for your beer options. It's all upper level now.
Selfishly, I love it because I'm a big Modelo guy.
Oh, okay.
And that's who they signed as the main.
Give me some hope.
Yeah, so Modelo taking over the rate. I'm in.
Chris Ronji coming up. Hey, I feel what the Sox are doing as far as everything off the field. Food at White Sox, what they've added on, I'm in. Beers, what they're doing, great job. Makes me want to actually go out to the grape.
I still think, though, I've been saying this for years, lower those prices.
How much lower do you want them to be? It's like $7 to get in it. I mean, it's a cheap.
No, not the ticket price.
Oh, you're talking about
the food. Concessions. The Falcons did this year. I'm talking $2 for a Coke, $1 for a hot dog. I mean, bring them way down.
100%.
Let's corner this market can no longer go to Wrigley Field without spending $500.
I see you, Connor McKnight, in the window. Tell me this is not Connor McKnight coming window two.
I see him.
Do you see him?
I see him in the blue jacket.
I see you, Connor McKnight. taxi driver Bob, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Where would the weekend be without me throwing my 2 cents in, right?
Damn straight, taxi driver. You're the fabric of the city and this show.
You know, you guys are, you know, creating a little rat pack up there, and poor Tynowitz is sitting behind the radio listening, and he's wondering, why aren't you inviting him, you know? He'd be good on a road trip, you know. He'd make sure to bring plenty of things to Nash on in the car, driving up and stuff like that. You know, you can't leave that guy out.
Harry's always invited, man.
He's always invited. He always brings the binaca and always makes sure that we're good. So, I mean, Tynowitz is our guy. We'll definitely throw him in the mix. Why not? Hold up. Are you going to drive us?
Sure, I could drive you up. Oh. Not a problem. I'm in Vernon Hills right now. I'm at 60 and Deer Path.
Taxi driver, we'll get you your ticket. You can drink on us, and we'll just roll with you.
All right, that sounds good to me. The meter will be running.
All
the big bucks you guys make up there. I'm sure you get me a lot of money for that fare, wouldn't you?
Part-time employee, taxi driver. Let's not go crazy.
No benefits.
Sorry, I got to go Uber.
All right, have a great weekend.
See you, buddy. Appreciate you. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
We're Ubering it.
Ubering it for sure.
I mean, you're
sorry.
This ain't Gene Greco and Sylvie over here. Come on now. let's get it straight. All right, hey, quick timeout. The Ranger, Chris Ronji, coming up next, 720 WGN.
Swing and a miss. He's through seven, and his ERA now is below two. Popped him up. Baez and Rizzo in foul territory, and it's Baez to end the eighth. No flipping. We go to the ninth. A drive to right, and it's gone. Oh, so close. And if you had to bet that the Cardinals were going to get a hit tonight, a home run would probably be what you would bet.
I mean, that's what it's like for St. Louis nowadays. You just got to be happy you didn't get no hit by Kyle Hendricks. That was the first game of the three-game set last September. I mean, I think the Cubs are going to, I don't know, go 18-0 against the Cardinals this year, or do they play 19 times? If it's 19, I'm going 19-0.
I feel like you're just trolling right now. I think that's what we call it.
Well, we do have Chris Ronji on hold right now. I don't even want to put him on just I don't want to even let him defend, because, you know, I've been listening to Ronji so long. White Sox guy from St. Louis. I know this guy hates the Cubs. I know it's just like deep in his he just absolutely hates him. And like, this is Chris Ronji. Welcome to 720 WGN.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I do not hate the Cubs.
Oh, come on. You have to. You're like,
why?
Well, because you're like, you're more professional than I give you credit for.
That's exactly right. I am more professional than you give me credit for.
Yeah, Chris,
I don't really have a hate for them. Not really.
Oh,
well. How about this? I'm looking at your Twitter account. You can follow Chris Ronji on Twitter at Chris Ronji. And I see that you retweeted Jeff Dickerson, but not Adam Hoge.
Oof.
Your response to that.
I didn't see it. Hold on a second. Hold on. I did not see your tweet. Did you put me in it?
I added Adam? You. I mentioned you, Chris.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure you did. If you had, I would have seen it, Adam.
Okay. So you're calling me a liar.
Yes. I'm totally calling you a liar because I think you're a liar.
Well, I don't know. 27 minutes ago, at Adam Hogue, it says big baseball show today, 3:35, at Chris Ranji.
Listen, Chris, don't.
You know why? I'll tell you why I didn't see it, because I haven't checked my phone in 27 minutes because I've been ironing pants. So I didn't get a chance to see it.
So I'm assuming you're not at the stadium yet. Because
hold on a second. Hold on. And I am totally not joking. I was definitely ironing pants.
Okay.
It's like an upper-level move by Chris Ranji on ironing of pants.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a slob like you two jamokes.
Yeah, I have not.
I'm going to be presentable when I leave the house.
If I'm getting a pants ironed, it's going to the dry cleaners. There's a 0% chance that I'm getting that done myself, which is one of the reasons why I'm hurting financially. Go ahead, Jared.
Let me just, Ranji, it's Jared Payton. I'm in the room. There's three of us, so I'm glad you singled out those two as being the sloppy jamokes. I pretty much always stay clean. But
Jared, I know. Listen to me, man. I know you're not. I know that you take care of yourself when you leave the house.
I appreciate it, man. And follow me on Twitter because I just followed you.
Okay. Well, listen, if you say something on Twitter and you mention me, I will definitely retweet that.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got the important Twitter business out of the way here. Now we can begin the interview. Chris,
we haven't started yet?
No, we haven't.
Isn't it?
We're not even on the air, actually, as far as I know. Chris, first of all, congratulations on the new gig in St. Louis. I know it's pretty got to be pretty cool for you to go back home, and you do an afternoon drive, so love you for that. Congrats. What's it like? What's it been so far as you attack this season now? I guess you're more covering the Cardinals than anything else. And you obviously were still here in Chicago last fall when the Cubs won the World Series. It's got to be a little weird for you.
Well, yeah, man. I feel like I kind of feel like I've been attached, even though I really wasn't attached so much to the Cubs. And we had them on the station, but it wasn't like I was at the park every day. Although I lived directly across the street from Wrigley Field for about the last 2 years. So I feel like I've gone from three different teams in like 4 years, you know what I mean? Like being closely associated with the White Sox for so long and then being on the Cubs flagship for a couple of years and now coming back here. It's kind of, I mean, it's different, you know? I feel like I'm a nomad. I feel like I don't have a home yet.
You're gonna settle in. You'll by May when we have you on, you'll be like, yeah, that's correct. I actually do hate the Cubs. I think that'll give me one month of the season. Is everything I read about the Cardinals these days is that Dexter Fowler is just making this big move in the clubhouse. He's keeping things light. He's playing the music. He's walking in with attitude, and people are loving him. Is that all accurate?
Yeah, sure. Seems that way. I mean, you guys know how he is. He's one of those people that has an infectious personality, and his teammates are drawn to him, and he pretty much immediately fit in there. And in fact, I can't think of a place that he could go to where he would not fit in right away. And if he didn't, there's probably something wrong with the makeup of that team, because he's just, you know, he's a great teammate. That's what he's been known for pretty much every stop he's gone to. Not, I mean, I don't know what that means for the Cardinals as far as performance goes. I mean, it's certainly better if everybody is getting along, I think, in the clubhouse. I don't think it necessarily leads to wins, but it doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? Sure. And the Cardinals had a last year, and I think it kind of comes from the top. You know, Mike Matheny is known as a very, well, he's got a tight sphincter, you know? Like, he's not somebody who's very loose in the clubhouse, and I think that sometimes that can wear on players, and he's tried to make an effort to be better this year. And again, I mean, it really comes down to what does it mean? You know, what does it mean for the team? Will they get like another two or three wins because of it, or will it affect them at all? And I don't really know. I just know that for right now, everybody kind of enjoys being around each other. And I think, you know, at least it can't hurt. It can't hurt that everybody's getting along and that the clubhouse is a lot more relaxed than it has been in the past.
I mean, that to me, it's a big deal, because you start to look at teams and how they're constructed. And if you don't have a good clubhouse or locker room, things can start to spiral out of control when things go wrong. But you look on the other side with this Cubs team and coming back, defending the world championship, coming into this season. Now you look at them, Ranji, they still seem to, from the outside looking in, that just because you win doesn't mean that you let off the gas. This team still seems to have their foot on the pedal and their eye on the prize for the end of the season.
You talk about the Cubs. Yeah. I mean, they're good, and they haven't gotten any worse. I mean, they lost Dexter, but you cannot say that they are noticeably a worse team this year than they were the year before, unless you have a bunch of guys that unexpectedly just have down seasons, which, that does happen in baseball, so it's not like completely out of the question, but there's no doubt that they're the class of the division and really probably baseball. I mean, you can, maybe make an argument that Boston is better now that they've got Chris Sale. And I don't think they're done dealing. I think they'll probably eventually pick up a starter there, but the Cubs are, I think, the best team in the National League, and they might even be the best team in baseball still. So I don't, it's a great time to be a Cubs fan. And this is, in fact, there probably has never been a better time to be a Cubs fan.
Chris Raggi here with us on the beat on 720 WGN. So with that in mind, what has been your sense of what's going on in St. Louis in reaction to, is there even a reaction? I mean, is there a reaction or added pressure from the fan base or the market in St. Louis after seeing what the Cubs did? And, I mean, where does Mike Matheny stand right here as you look at it going into this season?
I don't think there's added pressure. I mean, there really shouldn't be. They're not a team that's had trouble winning historically. So, I mean, if they do feel some kind of pressure, I think that's crazy. I mean, you should probably really just enjoy the success you've had for several decades and try to rebuild and get better, though. I shouldn't say rebuild because it's not really where they are at the moment, but I mean to try and get back to being one of the top teams in the National League. I think you have to give that a little bit of time and just recognize where you are. Now, they could win a wild card this year, but I do not at all expect them to win a division, and I don't really think anybody here does. I mean, maybe the team itself, but you know how players are. They always kind of assume they're going to win, and they have to. I mean, that's their job. So aside from the team itself, I don't know that anybody here locally, anybody of right mind anyway, I don't think anybody here really expects that they're better than the Cubs or that they're going to win the division instead of Chicago. I mean, I think people here know what the Cardinals are. They know they're good enough to compete. They know they're good enough to win a wild card, but they are not better than the Cubs, and they understand that.
What I like about the Cardinals is their outfield defense. You basically have two center fielders playing out there, so I would think they're going to run down balls well. I think the big concern is, what do you think the staff looks like right now? Because Adam Wainwright, are you expecting much? I like that Yadi's back on the 3-year contract. I mean, that makes sense to me. You're not going to let that guy go. But I would think that the weakness is the pitching. Is that fair?
Here's what I'll say. I'm concerned about Wainwright because he hasn't, and of course, when it comes to veteran players, veteran pitchers too, you don't really worry about what their starts are like in spring training because, it's spring training. But he did have a couple of lousy starts, and it didn't look like, from all the reports, it didn't look like he had command of his breaking stuff. Now, I don't know. I guess we'll find out when the regular season starts. But the only thing that really concerns me for them is injury for him or if Lance Lynn isn't able to stay fully healthy this year. Michael Wacha is coming back from an injury, and the most likely scenario, I think, is that he gives them about 150, 160, and if they're really lucky, like 170 in terms of innings. They should be okay. They're not a stellar pitching staff, but Carlos Martinez is really, really good. So they've got him at the top. And, how it is in baseball. You don't have to have five great starters. You have one really good one, hopefully a couple of good ones, and then everybody else, if they're steady and your offense is reasonable, you can win a bunch of ball games. Their problem last year, more than anything, was defense. They were a terrible defensive team, and they were a terrible base-running team. So I don't know how much better they are. You mentioned Dexter Fowler being in center, and Randall Grichuk, who had played out there, is not any longer. So, I mean, I hope their outfield defense is better because it was lousy in 2016. And if it's that bad and they keep giving up runs and giving up outs, then they're going to have another pretty long year. I don't know how much progress you can really make in one spring training and with one free agent acquisition, but if there's any kind of significant improvement, I think, and I don't mean they have to go from like the 29th defense in baseball to number five. I just mean if they can get like mid-range where they're not killing themselves every night defensively, I think they'll be an improved team overall.
Chris, you spent 10 years doing pre and post for the White Sox. What is your what? Yeah, you did. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, don't be sorry. It was fun.
Well,
congratulations.
Have you been one of the guys who screened your phone calls? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Great job, by the way, Adam. Really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes we're doing it on purpose, I think.
Oh, I know you are.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
What has been your reaction to this sudden change in direction this offseason with the White Sox?
I think it was time for it to happen. I am not as bullish on them. I didn't think that they should have done it like 4 years ago. I mean, really, I guess you could probably go back to like 2007. That was really the first time that people started talking about, well, you know, like the diehard fans, you know, those that are more cynical were back then. And you might have been one of those people, Adam. I don't remember. But those folks at the time were like, you know what, let's tear this thing down and start over now. And that was like a year after winning the World Series. And I didn't really think it was time to do that then. And I actually didn't think that 3 years ago when they had Chris Sale and they had Jose Quintana, I didn't think it was time to do that either. The problem is you had to build around those guys, and they did not build around them. They did not build around Abreu or Sale or Quintana, and those are three of the best players in baseball. And if you can't build around them and it takes you 2 to 3 years and you are in the same exact position you were in 3 years before that, then you got to do something drastic. So it's the right move for them now. I think they had an opportunity. They had a window. I mean, they had a window in like 2013 where they could have really started to make that team good, but they failed on it. They just, you know, they whiffed. It didn't happen. And so now that you had those guys who were not going to be on a winning team for at least a couple of seasons, I mean, they had no choice but to move Sale. And they don't have a choice but to move Quintana. And it's obviously not going to happen right now, but before this deadline approaches and, you know, at the end of July, I mean, they've got to. And I think they totally understand that.
Would Hawk Harrelson rather be stranded on a ship at sea or be the voice of the Cubs?
I don't know what his maritime skills are, so I don't know. I got to think about that.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what? I don't think he's not a. Does he hate them? I don't feel like he's as bad with Cubs hatred as maybe like Farmio is. Farmio hates the Cubs.
Yeah, I would agree. Farmio's worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of. I mean, there are people in that organization that really hate the Cubs. They kind of mirror their fan base, but. I don't really know. I don't talk to Hawk that much, you know. So I never got his full take on the Cubs. He always seemed to be pretty diplomatic whenever I talked to him.
I think he said that he was rooting for them last year in the playoffs. If I remember,
okay.
I mean,
well,
some of my favorite Hawk Harrelson calls around Cubs Sox games is when Aramis Ramirez would hit a grand slam and he'd say absolutely nothing, and then he'd say 4-0 Cubs.
You apparently don't watch a lot of White Sox because that's every game that happens. That's every team. That's not like he's extra mad because it's the Cubs. He just, yeah. I mean, Adam knows this. That dude. If he's upset and it doesn't matter who they're playing, if something like that happens, he will go silent for many minutes.
Chris, one of the best examples that I remember watching a game with you was the Jim Thome walk-off in Minnesota when Thome was on the Twins, not on the White Sox. This was after he left. And
yeah.
It was like 40 seconds off fireworks.
I think we timed it. It was like 2 minutes where no one said anything in that booth.
You know what that's... Listen, that is not unusual. I mean, there have been a lot. He is, I don't know any broadcaster in the country that is, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just he's very unique in that way. I don't know any broadcaster in the country who is that upset when the team loses. You know, I mean, he means it. I don't think every broadcaster means it like that guy does. There really isn't anybody like him in that regard.
I think there's something. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to tell you something. We'll go back to the Cubs for a second, and I will say this. Do you realize that maybe one of my top, not maybe, one of my top five nights in Chicago was Game 7. I mean, I had so much fun that night because I was watching the game with all my friends. And like I said, I lived right by the ballpark at the time. And, you know, we probably had like 40 or 50 people over at the house who were all Cubs fans. And just watching them get to celebrate it and then, you know, having the lead and they were all excited, kind of knowing what was coming. Then they lost the lead and the anguish and then getting the lead back. Like, that was awesome for me. I mean, I'm dead serious. That was one of my top five nights in Chicago.
I still have post-traumatic stress from the whole thing. Honestly, I mean, Comcast Sports, I just did that whole thing, Rain Man, and they went through the whole night. I was feeling like sick to my stomach going through it again.
Yeah.
I mean, so
Well, you're a Sox fan, right?
No, I'm a diehard Cubby. At least, you know.
Stick to your stomach with nerves.
Yes. I mean, I was at the game. I'm sitting next to Kevin Powell. He's you know, right, once Fowler hits the home run, it's over, man. You've got it. Then it's 5-1. You got this. I'm like, dude, they're the Cubs. You have to understand. I know they don't feel like the Cubs right now, but they're the Cubs. And when it happened, and when, listen, Kipnis's shot down the right field line, that thing
was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my computer packed up. I had everything packed up. I was standing in the corner like with one half of one eye open, just like this is what's going to happen. And then it didn't happen. All right.
Well, I mean, there are two things that night, and real quick, I know you're going to let me go, but there are two things that night that happened when they tied the game up. I was sitting on the couch next to a friend of mine, and I looked at her and I said this, and I whispered it because I didn't want anybody to hear me. She's like a Tigers fan. She didn't care. So I said, they're going to lose this game. I mean, after that happened, it just seemed like so perfect that would happen, that they would lose it like that. But, you know, hell, they didn't. And, you know, reading along on Twitter during that game, when it was getting late, I can't even tell you. I mean, I'm sure you guys did the same thing, or you know, maybe you checked and to see what people were saying. But there were people who had no rooting interest who were saying stuff like, "I don't care about either of these teams, but I've never been so nervous watching a baseball game in my life." And I think that happened for a lot of people with, you know, that don't have a personal connection to the Cubs or Cleveland. But it that's just how it felt.
My wife said that.
Yeah, it wasn't just for you. It wasn't for Cubs fans. I'm telling you, man, that game made baseball fans nervous. I mean, if you were a Rays fan, you were probably sweating bullets.
And I think it goes beyond baseball fans, because, like, you can't get my wife to stay up past 10 to watch any sporting event. And she said she was up till the end at 1 a.m., like, well, I guess it was like midnight, but just hanging on every pitch.
It was unbelievable.
Chris, it's great being able to have you on the show. Appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Congrats on your success, Chris.
Congrats, man.
Thanks. I'm going to go retweet Jared real quick.
See you, Chris.
See you.
All right, Chris Raji jumping on with us. Adam Hoge's guy from back in. I didn't know you screened calls for Raji on
Fun fact about Chris Raji, he and my dad were the last two people standing at my wedding.
Wow.
Wow.
As in they were the only ones that weren't drunk? What are we talking about here?
Just like they were the last two that were still awake.
There. Okay.
Like everyone went to bed, including me. I found out the next morning that
Raji
and Richard Hoge were just chilling till, you know,
talking Sox.
Probably talking White Sox until 2 a.m. or whatever, 3 a.m.
Hey, all right, quick time out here. Let's get caught up. Brian Kenny coming up after 4 o'clock as we'll preview the season from a national perspective. 720 WGN.
So we were just talking during the break. I don't know what to call today, because to me, tomorrow is opening day. Like the Monday where everyone's playing, not everyone because the Cubs aren't playing tomorrow, but you know what I mean?
I mean, there's three games going on today.
So it's not really opening day. Like I'd be fine calling it opening night, which opening is what night. It was when it was just a night game, but now they've added two other games to the day. And is there a worse place you could open the Major League Baseball season than in Tampa? What are they doing?
Probs not. 7-3, the Rays beat the Yankees, and right now top of three. Giants won, the Arizona Diamondbacks nothing. None of that matters, though. It's all Cubs and Cards.
And congratulations to Major League Baseball. It only took a half inning today to get a replay wrong.
Is that true?
Yes. It was the top of the first inning, and they wrong call at first base. They called him out when he was safe. They went and replayed it. They stuck with the call, and he was clearly safe.
That's
brutal.
That's unbelievable. Hey, Brian Kenny's coming up right after the 4 o'clock news. MLB tonight. Brian does a great job covering baseball, so we'll see what he thinks about the Cubs, and also see what he thinks about the White Sox, and we'll go around as to who he thinks will be there at the end. Is he an Astros guy, Dodgers, bunch of teams? The Indians obviously are highly considered to be in the World Series as well. 720 WGN. That means it's 3 hours and roughly 30 minutes to opening night down in St. Louis, part two of the three-peat. That's what we're going to be calling it all season long. We all know the Cubs are going back-to-back on their way to a three-peat. Brian Kenny, MLB Network. I don't know if he's aware that a three-peat is coming to Chicago, but he might be. MLB Tonight, 6 o'clock Central, plus MLB Network's 15 straight hours of opening day coverage begins tomorrow at 8 a.m. Brian, thanks for taking time and joining us on 720 WGN. Do you have the Cubs repeating?
Well, I didn't have him three-peating. Did I miss something? I haven't had that much alcohol recently. When did I miss the second one? Wow, I was something else.
Well, I just said like last year during the run, I'm like, listen, they're going to win it this year, and they're on their way to a three-peat. I mean, you look at all the talent. Why would they not win it this year? Why would
First
they not
of all, you're totally changing your story on that because you were doubting it the entire time every single night. Like
That's
a true,
true
Cubs fan.
Schizo, and, yes. 1 minute doubting, and then, you know.
See, Brian, they win it all, and now it's just, you know, they're never going to lose again.
Yeah, well, no, you and then when they don't, you'll be ticked off. You're like a Red Sox fan now.
Exactly. Brian, this has to be an exciting time for you and everyone over at the MLB Network. I know how much you love the game of baseball, although I find it, are you okay with? I find it weird that I didn't even know there were two other games today until like this morning at 9 a.m. And then the first game's in Tampa. It seems a little anticlimactic, but. Either way, it's still fun to have baseball on today.
No, it is, but I'm with you though, and I don't mind being critical. Look, I love it, obviously, but you know what works best? One full day, opening day, one day.
Yeah,
I'm not even a fan of the Sunday night baseball. Look, I worked for ESPN for 14 years. I don't hate on them, and if I'm working there, I want my own game. But I don't like it. I don't even like that. Maybe it's a little better this year. I would say I like the three games through the day for a halfway opening day better than the one game at night. And then the next day is kind of your full opening day. I'd rather have a little bit of baseball. But I'm a fan, and I think this is, you know, I think that it's probably going to happen eventually. I think in the league offices, they see the value of having that opening day holiday. And I can't wait for that to come back.
I think everybody sitting in this studio right now is just excited that baseball is back. I want to go with the Cubs, though, as Karma's over there still talking about a three-peat. I'm not sure what he's drinking in his drink over there, Kenny, but it looks kind of good
vodka.
Over there.
Vodka.
A little vodka. Offensively, though, for this Cubs team, getting Schwarber back for hopefully a full season. This team last year, almost 5 runs per game last season. Offensively, though, you think they can be better than they were last season?
Yes. I mean, everybody gets older and they're at the point they're so young where everybody gets a little bit better. I think, to nitpick, and they don't have many flaws, but you have to look at what Dexter Fowler did for them last year. You know, they were a very different team when Fowler was in the lineup. They were complete. They had a .393 on base. He played good defensively, and he just solved a lot of problems by playing center field. Everybody could just go to their more natural spots, including Jason Hayward. And he really shines as a right fielder, not as much as a center fielder. So I think that's a question. I think, you know, everybody else gets a little older, and I think Addison Russell starts to hit for more power. Bias starts to hit better. Zobrist probably doesn't decline too much, although he's off like a great year as well. So, yeah, they should get better, but I can't discount the loss of Fowler. And, you know, they're going to see him on the other side, you know, for the Redbirds tonight.
Yeah, I wanted the Cubs to re-sign Dexter Fowler. I understand why they didn't, because they like Albert Almora, and they have guys that they have to pay down the line. But so when you look at the Cubs' competition, one of the things where I was scratching my head this offseason, Brian, was what in the world were the Toronto Blue Jays doing with Edwin Encarnacion, who they basically were bidding against themselves and then decided that they would never get him. He ends up signing for a deal the Blue Jays would have done in a second with the Indians, and that's a huge win for Cleveland, but terrible for Toronto. Is Cleveland as good as everyone thinks they are in your mind? Because that's a huge addition for him.
Yeah, no, they're going to be excellent. I mean, that's Encarnacion is a top 20 bat, you know, one of the top 20 hitters in the entire game. And he goes to now a team that also gets bolstered where, remember, they went through that playoff run without Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar, like these they're flame-throwing guys in the rotation. Not their ace, Kluber is their best guy, but they're going to be much better. And Lindor is a year older. They're just more complete. Michael Brantley, if he plays at all, you know, suddenly that, by the way, would have been their best player last year. So, yeah, no, there's a real chance if guys are healthy, and that's a skill too, but if guys are healthy, that the Indians are the best team in the league, better even than the Red Sox.
Brian Kenny from the MLB Network on with us here on The Beat on 720 WGN. And Brian will recap today's games and preview tonight's Cubs-Cardinals game on MLB tonight at 6 p.m. And tomorrow, 15 straight hours of opening day coverage starting at 8 a.m. Central Time. Brian, do you have a surprise team, somebody that's maybe not getting enough attention right now in baseball that you think could be pretty good this year?
You know, not especially. I mean, there's only a few middle-class teams out there that would get better. I mean, I think where the rubber meets the road is are the teams that are like right at like 85 wins. So I think the Mariners are a playoff team. I think the Tigers are going to be good enough where they won't have to dismantle their club. And I know, like, I wouldn't actually put this on paper and I wouldn't even tweet it out, but there is something to be said for the Rockies, just with top, you know, position player talent. And an adequate rotation that's developing. There's a chance, and I didn't like their offseason, by the way, but there's a chance of just the way they've developed their players that the Rockies are, you know, might be staring at like a second wild card at some point this summer. They just have, you know, between LeMahieu, Story, Arenado, they're rolling out a lot of top-end young talent.
When you look, Brian, you look at the other team in Chicago with the White Sox, you know, the rebuild has started. Just the what's probably going to be the biggest thing for Rick Renteria this season?
Oh, my God. Well, sell. Sell, Mortimer. Sell. I mean, you just got to sell. You know, there's no halfway. If, you know, we had on MLB Now in the offseason, we had Bill James on the show, and I asked, hey, you know, because he works for the Red Sox, he's an advisor for the Red Sox, and I said, hey, can you be in and out at the same time? Because it seems like that's what everybody wants to do. The Yankees want to do that. I don't think the White Sox are doing that. They haven't gotten to their trade, you know, just gotten, you know, to every trade that they could yet. But Bill James said to me, you know, well, if you're trying to be in and out, you're out. And so I think there are still a lot of pieces for the White Sox. And I know Rick Hahn has got to be able to get good yield back. But they're, I mean, they've only started to scratch the surface. And once you trade Chris Sale, man, you got to go all out. You got to just empty everything that you can. You've got to do it, obviously, to get some, you know, real good talent back. But it makes no sense to be winning 70 games or 72 games as opposed to 65.
Brian, do you think Jose Quintana is overrated or underrated? Because here in Chicago, you know, I think we look at a guy who's just consistently getting guys out, and we go, man, this guy is so good. How does he not get, you know, how has this trade not happened yet? Are the White Sox overrating him too much? Are they waiting? Are they being too stubborn about holding on? So as an outsider to this city, how do you look at Jose Quintana?
No, I still think he's underrated. He's outstanding. I think at a certain point when he becomes the top trade chip and everybody's talking about him, eventually even the most underrated guy becomes overrated. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what, it can happen to you. But his run prevention has been excellent. He's got four straight years of 200 innings. He's just very good. You know, he's not quite an ace, and he's not the flame throwing ace that, you know, that we've seen emerge over the last few years. But I think in the world of baseball, they know his value. And that is the guy that's going to bring back an awful lot your way.
Brian Kenny, MLB Network with us here, 720 WGN. A lot of talk this spring training and years prior for that matter on speeding up the game of baseball. One thing I didn't expect to hear that my softball league was actually coming to baseball. We're going to put a runner on second base in the 10th inning, and that's obviously not happening yet. But do you see something like that aggressive happening down the line here, Brian? I'm assuming that this is going to continue the desire to speed up games so the millennials will actually watch baseball.
Well, let me address the last point that you just made, in that it's not even it is obviously you want to cater to the next generation that's going to be, you know, digesting your product, but you really just want it to be as quick as the good old days. You want baseball to be as quick as it was in the 1950s. You know, can we do that?
I agree.
And by the way, it is absolutely pace of play, and I blame the umpires on this because I don't know why it hasn't become just a more strict dictum to those guys that they've got to get out there and keep things moving because that's what slows the game down. Yet, no, the thing with second base, you know, guys starting on second base next inning, that's terrible for Major League Baseball. You know, tournament baseball, college, high school, Legion, fine. But this is Major League Baseball. That's such an artificial imposition onto the game. That said, speed it up, man. You don't have to. Replay doesn't eat that much time. It's not even, you know, the commercial time could be cut down, but that's not even causing like this last, you know, extra 35 minutes to the game. In fact, I would tell anyone out there, and I would tell you, if you get a chance, look up what Grant Frisby just wrote. He's on Twitter. He writes for McCovey Chronicles, and he compared a game, I think, from 1984 to last year. And he said, where is the extra 35 minutes coming from? And the games were almost identical in terms of pitches and runs, pitching changes, everything. And it's just guys lollygagging. That's what he came up with. It's just guys moving slower. Get a pitch clock out there. If the umps won't do it, get them moving, and you can chop a half hour off the game. And then, you know, anybody in their 20s will know, hey, I don't have to make a 3.5 hour investment to watch this baseball game. It could be two and a half hours, and I can do that.
I'm in, and this is what I would do. You cannot take two steps out of the batter's box. One step out, you can look down. That's it. You're in the box. This is your at-bat. You don't get to think about your groceries or whatever else you're doing when you're stepping out. And the other thing that I would do, the strike zone can't be a teacup, man. Letters to the knees, it doesn't have to be quite that big, but somewhere closer to that. I know they want offense, but that's what I would do. Go ahead, Jared. What do you got?
No. Well, go ahead, Brian.
No, you know what it is? Attack one thing at a time because, like, be careful. I like what they're doing with the strike zone is that we have to try to curtail strikeouts. Strikeouts are just going through the roof. You've got to slow that down a bit. But that's another topic. You know, that's another issue. If you're in the league office, I think what you do is pace of play. And Commissioner Manfred has actually been on that saying, hey, it's not the length of the games. We're not attacking that. It's pace of play. Get on the umpires. Play. I'm with you. You know, what a guy, if you look at games, even in the 70s, I was watching like 1977 World Series. And this is the World Series where you're really incentivized to slow things down. Guys, don't get out of the box. You know, you take a pitch, you tap the plate, you put the bat back up, get in there.
Right.
And this generation has been trained to slow it down. And because it does, you're incentivized to make your performance better. You don't care about the greater good of the game. Of course you don't. So you have to disincentivize that end of it and get them moving again.
Ooh, I like that.
I love it.
It's a selfish thing. I didn't even think of it that way.
You talked about shaving off a half hour. You still think a half hour is enough time, though? I still feel like this generation's main state is just to kind of be moving so fast. And a half hour, why not just leave it the way it is and let the game kind of be slow? I enjoy sitting there and investing that time watching a baseball game, Brian.
Yeah, I don't think it's crisp enough, though. How about this? Not even looking at the duration, but looking at the sustained action. And here's what I think you want to do. As an entertainment product, you should know, like if you're in your kitchen, you have your game on in the background, which is how I do it. You know, I get home and put the games on, I have a game on in the background. But I should know when a guy steps into the box, I'm about to get some sustained action. You know, it's baseball. It's not wrestling. It's not football. So there's going to be some stop down time. But when a guy gets into the box, that should get my attention. I should stay with it until the guy's at bat is complete. And now I know I'll watch one pitch. I'll watch another pitch. He steps out, and then he's fixing this, and then he steps back in, and then he asks for time. And I'm like, okay, what am I eating? Let me go back to the fridge. And I lose interest between guys at bats, like during their at bat. Like at the very least, you should guarantee someone who's watching a ball game, when the guy steps into the box, pay attention, and then when he makes an out or drives one to the gap, then you can then go about your business and return back your attention.
I like it. I like it.
I like it, too. I think there's a lot of things that we've done. Brian, always great talking baseball with you. We appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter, at Mr. Brian Kenny. And by the way, check out his book, Ahead of the Curve, Inside the Baseball Revolution. I read it. It's great. It's a good read for those, speaking of the changing game of baseball. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Brian, when we talk to you a year from now, we'll be talking about the quest for the three-peat. Just mark that down 1 year from today.
I'll be ready.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Brian Kenny, the MLB Network. I guess we're going to do our predictions coming up here at 4:30, huh?
Kind of scared.
I liked a couple of the teams he mentioned in there. I like them.
I'm telling you, what the Blue Jays did with Edwin Encarnacion is criminal. They offered him 4 years at $80 million. He said no, and then they went out and signed just a bunch of mid-level average guys. It was like Greg Maddux, almost like not quite that bad.
But how much of it was on his end?
Well, he was over.
Would he have come back for less?
He would. He thought he was going to get more.
Well, I understand that.
And he didn't.
But
and,
was he stubborn about it?
No, he would have come back, but they had already spent the money, so they didn't have the dough. I mean, Toronto.
At some point, you got to do your own business, and
that's true too.
You can't hang on for months while this guy's refusing to sign. Well, baseball's weird like that. Like, guys will wait until late February to sign.
If you were getting actual real talent, I would agree. But like, they were signing Justin Smoke and just like the guy. I don't want to get too baseball. Toronto Blue Jays.
Smokey.
It's okay.
Right. Jared, did you know that this week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are pigging out all around town?
Yes.
It's Chicago's Best pork.
Mm.
It's Sunday night at 10.
Sounds good.
Sounds delicious.
Sounds delicious. Sunday night at 10, WGN-TV. We will, we'll see. If you, listen, I'd like to throw it out there, 312-981-7200, because there's so much optimism. What could go wrong? I just would like to hear from people, the mid-level, the middle of the road, the worriers. You're sitting here right now. What could go wrong for the 2017 Chicago Cubs? We'll give you our predictions coming up at 4:30, 720 WGN. If you're just joining us, the Cubs lineup's been out for a while now, but we'll give it one more time. Schwarber in left, Bryan at third, Rizzo at first, Zobrist in right, Russell the shortstop, Hayward batting sixth in center field, Wilson Contreras your catcher, John Lester pitching, hitting eighth, and Javi Baez will hit ninth, playing second base.
So upset with you guys. You didn't hear that lead-in music?
You don't
know who that was?
No.
All right. Sorry, Dan Long. I appreciate you, man. Smoking Popes. Need you around. Chicago band. One of my favorites growing up.
Smoking what?
Smoking Popes.
Why is that worthy of being angry?
I'm just saying.
You telling me that we should have thrown out the Smoking Popes before we said the Cubs lineup?
All right, I'm going to come right back at JP with something that's bothering me.
Let's get it all on the table.
Where did you get that amazingly nice 87-7 the game sweatshirt?
It does look. JP, can we?
Why did we not get those? I didn't even know those existed.
We didn't last long enough. We were going to get it.
Did you like make that yourself?
No, I did not. I was walking. Actually, no, I was sitting down in the old offices upstairs on the 7th floor. Jimmy DeCastro walked by and had one in his hand, and there was nobody else around. And he asked me, he said, "Jared, get over here." So I said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "Try this on." I tried it on. It fit perfectly. Next thing you know, he goes, "Here, keep it. It's yours. It fits you perfectly. We're getting these for everybody." And I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be awesome." 2 months later, there was no game. So
I did get a phone protector.
I got one of those, too.
There's still a thousand of them upstairs.
I got a mic flag.
I don't have one of those.
Did you steal that or did you get it?
No, I was covering the Bears, so they gave me a mic flag.
Oh, so you still have it.
Going to get emotional. Right. I did the last show ever on the 87-7 the game.
I think I was a guest.
Yeah, I think you were, too. Were you on?
I was. Yes, I was.
I think you were on.
I was on.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
Yeah. But that JP does look happy. You got a sweet sweatshirt look going on.
Appreciate
there.
Appreciate it,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so, all right. That's your lineup tonight. I think one thing about the Cubs lineup that you were learning early, Madden last year didn't bat the pitcher eighth a whole lot. He was mostly in the nine hole. His first year he did. I think you're going to see the pitcher in the eight hole a ton this year.
Yeah.
Because what you got in center field, he's going to want to put that guy in the nine hole. Plus, you don't have Dexter Fowler leading off, not a true leadoff guy. So he's going to want to slot a more leadoff type-y, grindy single, some speed in front of Schwarber.
Yeah, I don't want to have a pitcher batting before Schwarber.
Right. I think that's, I mean.
First of all, I love Schwarber batting first because you're getting him more bats throughout the season. All right, it's just a numbers thing. We could have brought this up with Brian Kenny, and he would have been all over this because he is Mr. like revolutionary baseball. This idea of needing a leadoff-y type of guy, after the game starts, it really does not matter that much, okay? You want to get your best batters up top in the lineup get them as many at-bats as possible through an entire 162-game season.
See, I'm old school. I would lead off Elmora or Jay, and I'd put Schwarber in the middle
cool.
of the lineup.
Cool. You want to give John Jay the most at-bats of any player on the team the entire season?
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
That doesn't sound like it doesn't make any sense at all.
Right, I'm an idiot.
I'm going to get Kyle Schwarber as many bats as I can.
I would
okay?
too.
You enjoy leading off one inning of every game with John Jay. I'm going to put Kyle Schwarber in as many positions where he can hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah, and Chris Bryant should be hitting second either in my mind. He's like a 3-4.
Okay. Yeah, right. Move him down okay. too. Yeah.
Right. That's how I grew up. I wanted a little guy at the top of the order. I wanted Vince Coleman up there. I wanted Lenny Dykstra up there. I wanted Mickey Morandini as your two-hitter, like a little
Morandini.
I want a little pesky guy. I long for the days of Jerome Walton. Ryan Sandberg hitting .200 in the 84 Cubs was like borderline sacrilegious, although at that point he was a little, he hadn't bulked out Rhino. Rhino, of course, never wanted to move down from the two-hole because he was a routine guy, so he stayed there his entire career. I thought he should have been hitting third.
I just want to fast forward to like 3 hours from right now, and I want a little bit more than that. What is it, 4:30? Let's say 4 or 5 hours from right
five
now.
Hours.
Okay, there's going to be a moment tonight where I'm telling you, Javi Baez leads off the inning, Kyle Schwarber hits a double, and then Bryant knocks both of them in or something like that.
When it happens, I'm putting Carmen a tweet.
Yeah.
Throw me in there.
And you're going to be like, okay, Hogue was right.
At the Carm.
Kevin Richter walking into WGN. You'll hear him and Michael Heidemann, who are in for Brian Noonan tonight at 6.
Ooh,
how about that look?
Good one.
Yeah, baby. All right, quick timeout. our seasonal predictions coming up here. And don't forget 5'10", Nick Capra, third base coach of your Chicago White Sox, will be with us. You're going to hear from Kevin Powell down in St. Louis. A lot to do before we close up the sports talk at 6, 720 WGN. WGN, 435, 3 hours to the opener. Cubs and the Cardinals from St. Louis. I'm Mark Harmon. He's yes. Adam Hogue. He's Jared Payton.
Yes.
We are with you till 6 o'clock today. 312-981-7200. Hey, Cub fans, what could go wrong this year? 312-981-7200. What could go wrong? Let's have a...
Why are you being so negative right before the game?
Why?
What is this?
It's not even...
Nothing can go wrong this year.
Okay.
It's not baseball.
It's just a question. I'm only asking a question. What could go wrong? Not that it's going to go wrong. What could go wrong? We're gonna give you our predictions right now. Adam, I'm going to start with you.
Yep.
Jerry, you're up next, and then I got to think about this. But
I got to think,
Well, let's just go division by division.
Okay.
I don't have all divisions. All
right. Let's start in the National League. All right. Everyone's green. The Cubs are going to win the Central, I assume. Is everybody on board? Is anyone going against the Cubs?
What could go wrong?
No.
Dan Long, you're a part of these predictions, too. You're Mr. Yeah. Baseball.
Because I'm picking...
Oh, you think I'm going to go against the Cubs?
Yeah.
No, but... Okay, let's do it this way, then. Let's write this stuff down.
Okay, I got mine written
How
down.
Many games do the Cubs win the Central by? Go.
Oh.
Who's going
to... I'm going to say they win by 10.5.
Adam's got 10.5. I'm not going to lose this sheet of paper.
The division's not that good.
How many games? They won last year by 17.5 games, just so you know.
13.
JP's got 13. Dan Long, I know you're on the phone, but how many games will the Cubs win the NL Central by?
What did they win by last year? 17?
17.5.
Okay, I don't think it's going to be that big. I'm going to go 11.
Okay. I got
Price like is Price Right. Is right. Go, right. I said 10.5. He goes 11, man. That's not cool.
Hear that. $1, Bob.
I'm going to go with 7. I think they win by 7 games.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
Continue on. Go ahead.
Okay. In the NL East, I'm going with the New York Mets. I think it's going to be a good battle with them and the Nationals.
Wow.
But I think the Mets, the pitching is going to come back a little bit. They got killed last year with the pitching. And then they still in the wild card game against the Giants, weren't they?
Now remembering,
wasn't it the Mets versus the Giants?
Mets and the Giants last year.
Because we
wild
were all
card
talking
game.
About how we didn't want the Cubs to play the
I
Mets
did not want to
or
play
something
the
like
Mets.
Yeah,
but I okay.
Yeah, I think the Mets take the East, and okay, you guys, you obviously disagree with me.
No, I'm just going with the Nationals to take the East.
I'm taking the Nats too.
Because right. You'll see why as we come up for the wild card. That's
Dan?
Why.
Yeah, I'm going Washington. I just don't think to gamble on the health of the Mets starting rotation. I think it's too big of a gamble.
It's dicey. I just don't think it could be as bad as it was last year. And they still were in the playoffs. So that's where I'm going. And then in the West, I'm taking the Dodgers.
Everyone's got the Dodgers. How many games did the Dodgers win the division by? Let's do that game. Dodgers win the division by?
7.
Ooh, that's an aggressive take.
I'm going to say 4.5.
Uh-huh. Dan, you got the Dodgers too? Or are you going to feel some San Francisco Giant love?
Yeah, I'm going to go Dodgers, and it's not going to be close. I'll go 10 there too.
All right. Here's why I'm going 4.5.
Okay.
Because I'm going to give you my surprise team in the National League as one of the wild cards.
Okay.
And it's a team that Brian Kenny mentioned when he was on with us.
Ooh, you were talking about the
Colorado Rockies.
I knew it.
Their pitching is improved. Their lineup is young, and it is very good. I think once the pitching comes around a little bit this year, they are going to be competitive. They weren't that far out. People forget they were in this race last year. And you know, relatively late into the season, I think they take a step forward, actually give the Dodgers a little bit of a run, and do make the playoffs as a wild card.
Rock Pile, one of the more underrated spots in all of baseball. If you do go out to Colorado, you can sit in center field. Just the Rock Pile's like a buck, and you just hang out. Yeah, well, you're way out there in center field. Maybe it's $5. It's cheap, very very cheap. And
is that like those seats that are way out in center field, like high
yep,
too?
Yep, high end.
I can't do that.
The Rock Pile.
Nope, can't do it.
Why? You afraid of heights?
A little bit.
Okay.
Really?
They also have like a line in the upper deck there, which is a I forget how X amount of feet above sea level. Before we go American League, let's get Anthony in here, and then we'll get our American League predictions.
We didn't even finish our NL predictions.
We didn't?
No, we didn't.
What did we not do?
Well, we didn't. You guys didn't give your wild cards, and we didn't talk about who's going to the World Series.
Oh, okay. The Cubs are going to the World Series. My bad. And wild card in the NL. I'll take the Mets.
You're going, well, you get two wild cards.
Oh, right.
I'm going Mets and Giants.
This guy doesn't even know how baseball works.
I'm going Mets and Giants.
What?
That's why.
You said Mets and Giants?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going Nationals and Rockies.
Okay. I was going to put the Rockies in there, though.
Dan, while Carm remembers that there's two teams that make the playoffs.
That's unbelievable.
Wild card.
Wild cards are Mets and Giants. Cubs go to the World Series.
I'm legit getting real old. I'm forgetting names.
Don't worry about
like
it.
Team name?
No, like last night I was on a date and like her name was Chelsea and I called her. I didn't call her by her name. I got it wrong.
Legit, man.
Got it wrong. Now I forgot there's two wild card teams.
It's okay.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I need some kale. I need something. Okay. I got the Mets. I'll jump on your Rocky surprise, Hogue.
Thank you. Very convincing argument, I think.
Well, I've heard it from a bunch of people now. I'm giving you credit. But I'll jump on the Rockies. That's more fun than saying Giants.
Take the call.
Can we get Anthony in here now?
Go for it.
All right, Anthony. What could go wrong with the Chicago Cubs in 2017? 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. From a player perspective, obviously Wade Davis, he's healthy. He's very good, but... You know, some forearm issues. From a coaching standpoint, Joe Maddon, again, tries to overmanage the team in the playoffs and manages us right out of a title. And on a good note, aliens come down and take away Jason Hayward.
What?
And we get out of that ridiculous contract and go get somebody twice as good for half as much.
Hey, Anthony, you do realize that he gave the speech, though, right? I mean, he let him into the weight room.
Well, you know, I'd rather pay a professional speech writer. You know, whatever he charges, than the $20-some million we paid him, which is not even bad as weight.
He wouldn't have had the respect though in that clubhouse, man. Listen, I'm with you on Hayward. But come, I mean, anyway, he got the.
Defensively, you gotta love him, right?
He helped get the. Okay.
Every team needs a punching bag.
Anthony,
it shouldn't cost you $27 million. We can go get a punching bag for $27,000.
Hey, man,
shoot, you can pay me.
Hey,
to be
come
the
to the south
bag.
Side. I'll give you Adam LaRoche, Adam Dunn, any other
more credit than he deserves.
Got you. Got it. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, yeah. I like when that happens because it shows that you relax.
I think you should be able to say that word on the radio. But that's a different. That's a different argument.
You don't get to make those. Dan Kelly.
No, I don't.
Dan Kelly, my cousin, outside of the studio, walking the dogs on a Sunday. It's like a regular thing. I get to see him. I never talk to my cousin, but I see him. He walks.
You
the
see
dogs.
Him. And he goes by. Hey, I have the Cubs in the World Series.
Yes, anyone pass over?
Anyone not have the Cubs going to the World Series?
I got the Cubs in the World Series.
What are you dying about over there?
If you would have seen Carm's face, the way that he was wanted to push so many different buttons and he got to the one he needed to.
It was
awesome.
I don't talk to him. I just see him.
In 3 years of doing the show, I feel like that's the first time we've had to hit the dumb button.
Oh. Yeah, it was a borderline miracle that I knew where it was at. I hope I got it. Did I get it? I think I got
if
it.
If you didn't get it, I got it.
Okay.
Oh, I trust
it. Someone's got it.
Can we do the American League?
Sure. Go ahead. 312-981-7200. Go ahead. American League, go.
Does anyone think the Cubs are not going to the World Series, too? By the way, you can chime in 312-981-7200.
219 texting in. No negativity, Mr. Harmon. Only positive thoughts. All I'm asking is the question. I'm not even saying it. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
A lot of stuff could go wrong.
A lot of stuff could go wrong. John Lester could go wrong.
Injuries to that starting rotation could go wrong.
Could go wrong. Jake Arrieta could go wrong. I mean, some things can't go wrong. Like Chris Bryant won't go wrong. Anthony Rizzo's not going to go wrong.
They can not get hurt.
No, I'm not.
They can get
no,
hurt.
No, I'm not going on wood.
That's not wood.
Anyone can get hurt.
This is wood. This is there's a little smidgen of wood on the board here.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
All right, American League East. JP anyone not have the Red Sox?
No, I got the Red Sox.
I got the Red Sox.
All right.
Chris Sale's going to win the Cy Young, too.
It's about time.
I truly believe with that offense, Chris Sale's going to, and the motivation to leave in Chicago, that dude's winning the Cy Young.
Yeah. All right, American League Central. What do you have?
The White Sox, baby, in the Central.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone's got the Indians. How many games did the Indians win by?
This is another. They could go.
I mean, the Central is weak.
Weak.
You know, I think the Tigers are going to be decent, though.
And
then the Royals are going to be a tough spot because they still have talent, but they need to sell it.
Jorge Soler starting the season on the Royals, if you missed that news. No surprise there.
We should. I would think so after they made a trade for him.
Yeah.
He's starting the season on the DL.
Oh, you said on the Royals.
No, he's on the DL with a little.
I didn't know that. If you had said on the DL, I would have had a different response.
I did say on the DL.
No, you said on the Royals.
I think he said DL.
You just went all karma.
Did I?
You were not listening. And
what is wrong?
You
can we check the tape? I think we need to check the tape. Texters, did he say Jorge Soler starting on the DL or on the Royals?
No, I said on the DL.
But no,
text line three.
I don't know. I think he said on the Royals.
Actually, I'm on side. I think you just said Royals. Three, and you forgot to mention that. Yes, you did.
312-981-7200 is the text line. Please verify that I said on the DL.
Yeah. All right.
Otherwise, that's another reason why I need to see somebody that will help me with what's going on.
Just eat kale. Dave Ennett will tell you.
Kale's good for
you. I love Dave Ennett.
The guy hasn't misspoken on the radio in 30 years. It's amazing.
No one's
got a better streak.
It is incredible. Yeah. Continue on.
All right. In the West, this is where we might differ. I'm going with the Astros.
Everyone's going to take the Astros. I'm taking the Astros.
Well, everyone had the Astros last year, and they
didn't. You could take the Rangers, too, maybe.
Did you see the Rougned Odor? Yeah. Did you see that? Rougned Odor is 23 years old. He's the Rangers' second baseman, if you're unaware. He just got a contract extension, $49.5 million. They're buying out his arbitration years, which is not, in baseball terms, that's a fair amount of money. But in order to get him to sign the deal, did you see what they did?
No. They threw something in.
He loves horses. So they threw him a picture of two horses. Hey, man, here's $49.5 million, and here's two horses. They gave him two horses. And he was like, "Oh, I'm in. I'm done."
Isn't that funny? Because like he could have bought two horses,
right?
But you throw him into the deal.
He's like, "Oh,
and it's like, oh, I'm in. Yeah,
$49.5 million. I might be able to get more. Maybe I could negotiate that up to 56. You just gave me two horses. I'm down.
I love horses. I would ask for a Ferrari.
Yeah,
it's got a horse on the hood.
By the way, the text line is unanimous. You said Royals.
You did say Royals. Yeah. I knew it.
Everyone saying you said Royals.
You said Royals.
It's unfortunate. It's all over.
It's all good.
It's been great serving this station. I no longer.
It's downhill from here.
It's not a good sign. All right, continue on.
Wild card. Everyone have the Astros? Is anyone disagreeing?
I'm going to go with the Astros.
For the West, I'm sorry. All right, wild card. I'm still going with the Blue Jays, even though Carm is so against what they did this offseason. Their pitching is really good. It's better.
Blue Jays have excellent pitching.
So I'm going to go with the Blue Jays. And my surprise team, Seattle.
That's my guy. I got the Rangers. I got the Rangers and the Mariners.
Both. So you got three teams coming out of the West.
No. Just no. As my wild card.
Yeah, as your wild card. You said Rangers and Mariners.
No, I said I'm going with you with the Astros.
All right.
I'll take the Rangers.
Who do you have winning the West?
Oh, did I not say? I said the Astros.
Okay. Yeah, and who are your two wild card teams?
You could have went with the Rangers.
Who are your two wild card teams?
Rangers and Mariners.
Okay, so you have three teams coming out of the West.
Yes.
That's all right, we're getting there, guys.
Three out of the West, huh?
Sorry. Okay.
I'll do something different. I'll take the Rangers, and I'm going to take the New York Yankees.
I thought about the Yankees hard.
I think the Yankees are better.
Gary Sanchez is a... Dude, that dude is a beast.
Well, I mean...
What?
You looking at me like you got three teams coming out of the West. No, I don't.
And you're disagreeing with me. I'm like trying to help you, man.
I need some kale.
Everybody needs kale here. Let's get some kale.
312-981-7200. What could go wrong?
Kale is disgusting, by the way.
Awesome.
It needs to be properly, like avocado needs to be blended in there.
Ooh,
some nuts.
Love avocado.
You can make kale okay. It takes a lot of effort, though. Hey, Tim, what could go wrong? 720 WGN. Go ahead. Tim?
His phone?
Hey, it's me. Hey, guys, sorry. Didn't hear you say my name.
Hi, Tim.
It's, if it goes wrong, whatever goes wrong is this Cubs team is the new Cubs. Last year at the beginning of the season, the worst thing happened. Kyle Schwarber went out for the season. He comes back and they win the World Series. So bring it on.
Tim, I don't know what you mean. Did anybody understand what Tim was talking about here?
Yeah, I do.
You're worried about injuries, Tim?
No, I said even if something goes wrong this year, the Cubs can overcome it.
Oh, I get it. They're foolproof.
Yes.
Nothing can go wrong.
Well, I see, but I think that is a perfect example of why there's no way this season is as easy as last year. Because, and I wrote this in my story last week when I talked to Jed Hoyer. You can get on WGNRadio.com. Even the most catastrophic thing that happened to them was perhaps the luckiest thing or the biggest break they got. Because the fact that Kyle Schwarber, that happened the first week of the season, is the only reason why he showed up in the World Series. And I don't think you win the World Series without him.
That's true. If he did get hurt a little bit later, literally like 1 week later, he's probably not there.
Yeah, so even the worst thing that happened last year was perhaps your biggest break.
And if you remember, and we can check the tape on this too at the time, and I'm 99% certain I said it on the air. I definitely said it off the air. When he got hurt, I'm like, don't need him. They didn't
need you did say that.
They didn't need him.
And I also, if you remember, had this conspiracy theory all season long that he was going to come back for the playoffs.
You're right about
that. I said that multiple times, and it was going off nothing but just like a gut feeling.
Good gut.
And they wouldn't have won the World Series without him. The guy was incredible. All right, quick timeout. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Nick Capra, third base coach, your Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN. 720 WGN.
Any chance I said that correctly?
I think you got it right.
Horticulturist.
Sounded right.
Yeah.
I'm backing you. Hey,
thank you.
We started off the show. I mentioned that I made my return to USTA tennis today.
Congratulations.
So one of the things...
What are you doing here?
I just got to tell you right now. Like, one of the things about playing on this team is the skipper, the manager, he's very committed to making it the best team possible. And what he does after the match is he gives the recap. And so I have here an email recapping my performance today.
Okay.
So now I thought I played pretty well, honestly.
Did he just rip you?
So this is what I was like excited for him to say nice things. Here we go. Sports Talk Mark paired up with June, and they got the job done in straight sets. Not some of our best tennis, but good enough. Our opponent had some of the best use of the F word I've ever heard on the road. This guy was just screaming profanity when he was missing shots. We ended up winning some crucial points and held them off when we needed to most. A win is a win, and that's all that really matters. I hope you did not record that match.
Woo!
I mean, I thought I played well.
This
dude just flat out just dogged me.
This is like our shows. Anytime I think we have a good show, I go back and listen to it. I'm like, eh. And every time I think it's bad, I come back, I'm like, ooh, that was a good show.
Can you believe that? A win is a win, and that's all that really matters. I hope you did not record that match. Not some of our best tennis, but good enough. We ended up winning.
I think he's just trying to motivate you to do better.
I don't think he is. I don't know if I'm going to be invited back. I just got legit dog. I'm a little hurt. I thought I played great. I was hitting, I had some ripping some backhand returns. The volleys.
You call him a manager?
It's the skipper.
The skipper?
Coach.
In tennis?
Head coach. Coach Springer. Man's
I've never heard skipper in tennis, but I'm not a tennis guy.
Springer.
I mean, this dude doesn't even play. He comes out to the team. He's got the lineup organized. At Northwestern, you're amazed, right? He is running a rec league team like as well as Joe Maddon runs the Cubs.
I kind of have a lot of questions.
What's he doing?
Yeah. He has a regular job. He's got...
So he's doing this for fun?
Yeah, he loves it.
And he's just sending you emails telling you you suck.
Well, it's the whole team.
Wow.
I don't like this guy.
Is he nice?
He's nice. He's a good man.
How old is he?
He's in his 30s. I think. Maybe touching 48, but I'm pretty certain 30.
So he's younger than you?
Oh, yeah.
He's got no right to email you like that.
Yeah.
Really?
Respect your elders.
I mean, he's just giving his take on what happened. I thought
he doesn't even play.
I mean, I don't know if he saw the forehand I hit down the middle, splitting both guys at the net.
Did he record the match?
No, he didn't record it, but he was.
He's just going off. He didn't even watch the tape. He didn't even watch the tape. What kind of skipper is he?
That's what I'm saying. For real.
Did Carm play better than what his skipper said? 312-981-7200. All right. That's enough of that. I'm a little hurt, though. I'm not gonna lie. I thought I was there, Hogue.
I got your back here. I don't like this.
Yeah.
This guy
played well, man. Come
be
on.
More supportive.
It's not a way a skipper is supposed to handle himself.
Hour by hour forecast, people texting, there's a lot of rain for tomorrow.
Well, read that text more. It wasn't just any texter.
Oh, it's Papa Hogue.
He wants to know if he's going to be able to go to opening day tomorrow.
Doesn't your dad have your cell phone number?
No, he likes texting the show.
He just texted me, too.
Papa Hogue. I mean,
what up, Papa Hogue?
Papa Hogue probably wants the game. He's asking, will the Sox move the game to Tuesday? And he's actually got secret reasons for wanting it to get moved to Tuesday because he's driving home from Kansas City tomorrow morning.
To go to the opener?
To go to the opener.
Come on. Stay in Kansas City. What's in Kansas
City?
Well,
no, he's got to come. He's there visiting a friend.
Yeah.
And he's got to rush home for a 3 o'clock start.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Continue to visit with the friend. Enjoy your time in KC. Go get yourself some McGonagall's barbecue. Go to Jack Stack. Have an Arthur Bryant's. And you don't need to worry about the White Sox home opener.
Why not? Jacob May's leading off.
Just enjoy your time with your friends.
Yeah, you're on your way to 64 wins. All right, and speaking of that, Nick Capra, the third base coach of the White Sox, who doesn't have that.
By the way, the reason Nick Capra is coming on, he's the third base coach, but he's been the director of player development for years. So he knows these young guys. He's going to get you ready for, you know, what is definitely going to be a rebuilding year.
All right, well, we'll see how Nick sizes up what the White Sox are up against and how they can be successful in 2017. Coming right up, 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720
WGN. 505. That's 2.5 hours to opening night.
We should ask the listeners.
Who's like legit excited? I'm getting excited.
Well, talk about excited. I just spent the break looking up how much the minor league baseball package costs.
Hey, that's what Cub fans were doing.
Right?
Yep.
With the Iowa Cup. Dude, the Charlotte Knights are going to be loaded. And by the way, our guest coming up, Nick Capra, was the White Sox director of player development. He's now the third base coach. And they brought him up to coach in the major leagues because they're going to have all these kids that they need to develop at the major league level. I'm looking at the Charlotte Knights lineup, and I want to watch the game. The season starts Thursday, I think.
You definitely want to see what Yoan Moncada is doing. There's no doubt about it.
7:05, Charlotte Knights versus Norfolk.
Little Lucas Giolito. Who's the number one starter for the Charlotte Knights? You probably don't know the answer to that, but whatever.
I don't know the rotation yet.
I don't.
You got Lopez there though.
Sure.
Well, I get the sense they're actually more excited about Lopez than Giolito. And
I'm skeptical.
But Yoan Moncada.
Moncada, that's
appointment
skeptical.
TV.
That guy's going to be a stud.
He's going to be up probably
after
mid-May.
Right. Well, after... We'll see what Nick Capra has to say about that. White Sox third base coach and man who knows the system incredibly well. He's going to be calling us hopefully in a matter of moments here. Sox also, I got to tell you, there is, if they're even remotely competitive, it'll be surprising. No one is giving them any chance to do anything. And you still have Jose Abreu, right? You still have Todd Frazier, right? They're not. I'm just saying it's possible. I'm not saying they could hang for the long haul, but they could be better at least at the start of the season than people are giving him credit for. I mean, you still have Jose Quintana on the team right now, do you not? The rotation's real dicey. Real dicey. You got Rodon's on the DL.
Miguel Gonzalez is a question mark. He had a really good second half of the season last year, but
James Shields,
kind of a surprise. You don't know what James Shields is going to be able to do. I mean, it would be amazing if James Shields just all of a sudden comes out and starts dominating. Can you flip him for anything?
Yeah, you could.
I mean, eat the whole rest of the contract.
You could. You could.
And flip him for something. Derek Holland.
And Derek Holland's pitched well in the spring.
I mean, isn't that like a Scott Feldman type situation? You sign him, hoping him trade him?
Yep. Yep. Hey, 312-981-7200. Sox fans, you going opening day tomorrow? Are you going?
I'm not going.
I got your James. Dad's going, you're not going?
Yeah, I got James. Okay. I got James. It's a little cold, rainy.
Okay.
Not going to do it.
You going to go this week?
Well, yeah, I'm sure at some point. I don't have any plans right now, but typically I end up going like 4 of the first 6 games.
I'll go with you.
Will you?
Yeah, I will. 100%. 100% I'll go.
You will?
Yep.
All right. Let's do, we'll do a Sox game and then we'll do Brewers Cubs Friday.
Okay. Well, it's a big week for us now.
We could do it.
Oh, we could do that. That'd be amazing.
By the way, this World Series champion double-decker bus just keeps going by every 3 minutes.
It's so good. That is the one thing. I don't want to be negative, but that's the one thing. Like, they're the World Series champions. If things don't go the way they're supposed to go this year, you can't like have the double-decker bus still saying 2016 World Series champions at this time next year unless they win it, right?
Yeah.
You got to do it again. So it's like it's just a special time. That's how it feels. Like, they won the World Series. They have so much attention around them. Everything this offseason has been. Have you been watching Dancing with the Stars?
I don't watch the show. I have seen both David Ross's dances.
What'd you think? I think he's doing a solid job.
I think he knows how to dance. I think he can dance better than I can.
It's not bad, right?
I will say I actually sat down and watched some of the first episode.
It's not a bad.
But then I went in the kitchen. I was like, honey, let me know when David Ross is up.
Okay. You know what I'm watching tonight outside of Cubs? I'll watch it after the Cubs are done. It's the last episode of The Walking Dead for the season here, Hogue. I'm a big Walking Dead guy. You didn't know that, did you?
I think it's also the last episode of Big Little Lies.
Really?
Which is on HBO.
Don't watch that.
Which is kind of misleading. It should really be called Big Enormous Lies.
Oh, okay. Is that a good show? Should I dial in?
I think cheating on your husband's not a little lie. Oh. Right?
No, that's a significant lie.
It sounds like
lie.
An enormous lie.
It's a significant lie.
I think the show's title is a little misleading. And the whole thing is about someone who gets killed. That seems like an enormous thing, too.
Death is not, yeah. It's not small. Hey, Kevin Powell's down in St. Louis. He'll be joining us after 5:30. And hopefully we'll hear get a little Joe Maddon pregame audio. Is the goal to bring that to you as well. Joe Maddon, again, impressing with his opening day lineup, putting Jason Hayward in center field, getting him the opening day start, and getting Javi in there as well. So Baez will start at second base.
All right. I'm assuming these are your top three pitchers in the Charlotte Knights rotation.
Okay.
I don't know what the order is, but Reynaldo Lopez, mm-hmm. Lucas Giolito, mm-hmm. and Carson Fulmer.
Yeah, you want to watch those guys.
Pretty dude. Solid.
You want to watch those guys.
And then you got Yoan Moncada, who's going to be playing every day. And then this Nicky Delmonico. Do you have any idea who this guy is?
Nope.
I'd never heard of him until last week when I was in Arizona.
Okay.
Every time he came to the plate, he's just crushing baseballs. And I found out he was like a stud in the Orioles system who got traded to the Brewers, never worked out there, now he's with the White Sox, just smashing.
Okay.
I'm just saying, this team's interesting to me.
Well, yeah.
I think I'm going to pay $12.99 for April. Let's try out the MILB package. Let's do this thing.
That's an aggressive play, but I like it.
Anyone got my back here? And has anyone ever done this? Because I've never paid for minor league baseball before in my life.
Well, see, at the end of the day, too, you're a family guy. You go home at night. You're with the wife. You're with James. You're chilling.
Yeah, which is a reason not to do this.
You think it's a reason not to do it? I think it's a reason to do it. What else do you do at home?
You think my wife is going to be okay with the Charlotte Knights on the TV?
Can't you go that on the computer and something else on the TV and you're holding hands and having a glass of wine and you're good?
Watching Big Little Lies?
Do you have to be watching the same thing? Or is she going to give you, you're not watching what I'm watching? How does that go?
I don't know. I'm not a two-screen guy, really, though.
Okay.
And something like during the NCAA tournament.
Who you like tomorrow? Speaking of.
You know, I kind of like Gonzaga.
Really?
That's Zach Collins, dude. I didn't realize how good he was.
Oh, he's good.
I mean,
he's been phenomenal. He was big against Northwestern.
How do I get a Zach Collins?
You guys were right there. The Badgers were right there. We're hoping to hear from White Sox third base coach Dick Capras. So let's take a quick time out. Come on back here. Kevin Powell's going to join us. There is one story from baseball, too, that we haven't gotten to that I'd like to highlight in that. I honestly think the game could be changing in this way. We'll explain that coming back. 720 WGN.
Back here on the beat, taking it until 6 o'clock tonight, getting ready for opening night with the Cubs tonight. White Sox tomorrow. They had a workout today at Guaranteed Rate Field, and we bring in now Nick Capra, who's the White Sox's new third base coach. You should get to know him, and if you don't know who Nick Capra is, well, he's been in the organization for 22 years.
Shame on you.
So get to know him, but Nick, thanks so much for taking the time this evening to join us, and we'll start here. I was talking to Rick Hahn in Arizona last week, and he went out of his way to talk about how excited they are to bring you from the minor league level, where you're the director of player development, adding you to the major league staff because you're going to have so many young kids coming up and they want to teach at the major league level. But how gratifying is this for you, first of all, to get your first coaching job in the major leagues? And just in general, can you speak to how this is ideally going to work with you teaching these guys at the major league level as they come up?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of pumped to be here also. It is a little gratifying. I fell in love with player development obviously years ago. I've been involved in player development for almost 38 years as a player and a coach and the farm director. But, yeah, I fell in love with player development. It's a passion of mine. Baseball's a passion of mine. And now with the opportunity to bring it to Chicago as a third base coach, I'm really excited. Obviously with us, kind of in a rebuilding process, we're bringing up a lot of the kids, which I'm familiar with. I've been a teacher all along the way. And, our philosophy is to teach at the big league level, and I'm really happy and proud to be a part of it.
Nick, what's your thought process when you're seeing a guy play in AAA and deciding whether or not he's ready? I mean, some people, they'll put a hard number. Well, he's got to have X amount of at-bats. And then there's the also, hey, he is doing this now. He's clearly ready to go because he can either, whatever it is, handle the curveball or he's on top of something that he was struggling with before. How do you know in your mind that a guy's ready generally?
There's a lot of intangibles that are involved. Pitching's, obviously a different area. First of all, as a pitcher, if they command the fastball, both sides of the plate and out and up and down and able to spin a breaking ball for a strike, we think they're on the right path and able to help at the big league level. Position players are a little bit different, in means of, defensively, are they ready defensively, offensively, can they command their strike zone and have discipline in their strike zone? There's a lot of different things that go into it. I kind of rate it as a baseball IQ. Is their IQ high enough to compete at the big league level? And that's kind of what I look at. And but there's a variable, a lot of variable ways of looking at it. And hopefully we're making the right decisions and when to bring them up.
White Sox third base coach Nick Capra on with us right now. So you're the director of player development. They bump you up to third base coach. Then they get all these fun, fancy new toys like Yoan Moncada and Lucas Giolito, Reynaldo Lopez, and they send them all to Charlotte. You got to be like, come on, man, I want to coach these guys. So I imagine you're going to be keeping a close tab on these guys as much as possible in April. And then, at some point, these guys are going to come up and you're going to get that opportunity. And you certainly just had that opportunity in spring training, too.
Sure. We saw a lot of these guys that we just, acquired in these trades. It's exciting. Obviously, I think everybody knows the path that our minor leagues have taken over the course of the last few years. We traded people and trying to get big league, talent. And some of it has worked out and some of it hasn't. I was here in 2005 when we traded people to get people to win a World Series. And that's how it works. And that's how it operates at times. And now we're on the other end of it. We're trying to acquire talent to get back to that point where we're able to compete for a championship, American League championship, a World Series, and compete not only for 1 year, but for years down the road. And it's exciting to see these new guys come in the system. You know, when their time is to come to be in Chicago, obviously that's above my pay scale, but, you know, it's exciting to see, you know, the Kopech, the Giolitos, Makata. It was a really exciting spring training for us.
I want to ask you about one player who you are going to have the opportunity to coach right away at the major league level, and I'm sure you're definitely familiar with him, Jacob May, who's been in the system for a few years now. Tell me a little bit about his development this spring and what he did to make this major league club, and he's probably going to be leading off for you. Because, you know, last year I was out there in Arizona, and he caught my eye. I didn't really know much about him at the time, but just watching a few spring training games early on in March, he caught my eye, and then here he is this year doing enough to make the Major League club.
Well, you're right. He actually opened up eyes last year in spring training, 16th spring training. Had a real good spring, opened the season in Charlotte, and was starting out pretty good, and then he health issues. He had a couple of injuries that kind of, held him back, and we weren't quite sure going into spring training what we'd have. You know, obviously health is the main issue with him. If we can keep him healthy, we think he's going to contribute at the big league level. You know, people talk about the number of bats you have in the minor leagues, this and that, but he stood out again this spring. He opened eyes well enough to have us take a chance on putting him in center field. If he leads off, I don't know if he's going to lead off or not. He might hit 9-0 for us, but he's out there. His strength is defense. He can run. He puts the ball in play. He doesn't strike out a lot. So all the things we're hoping to see out of Jacob, whether it's in the 1-hole or the 9-hole, wherever, and he's a good base runner. So we're excited to see him. And, you know, we've done it before with some pitchers where they develop at the major league level, and he's going to kind of be one of those guys where he's still developing at the major league level.
Nick, Sox fans are super excited to see Yoan Moncada, and number one prospect in baseball, the big name in the Chris Sale trade. Get him more excited. What do you love about this kid?
Everything. He's exciting. First of all, he's got a great personality. He's a good kid. He's outgoing. He's energetic. He loves the game of baseball. You can tell he has a passion for it, but he does a lot of things really well. He can run, he can hit, he can throw, he can field. If he has a weakness right now, it's defensively, which it's not going to be a problem down the road. He's going to learn to play second base. He's going to be an all-star second baseman down the road. But he does all the things. He does a little thing. You know, he moved runners in spring training. Just little things, you know, running down the baseline, you know, double play, you beat out a double play, keep us in the inning, you know, just little things that were exciting to watch this kid. He's got all the tools, got all the talent. We want to harness all that and have him ready when they make the call for him at the big league level. He's going to be a really, really good big league player.
White Sox third base coach Nick Capra on with us. It's going to be a huge part of this rebuild, developing these guys at the major league level. I don't know why I threw Jacob May in there automatically as a leadoff guy. I forgot about a guy by the name of Tim Anderson, who happens to be pretty good at baseball too. Just got the contract in spring training to lock him up long term. With Tim, what's the biggest thing that he needs to do to kind of maintain what he did last year, which was obviously a very good start in the major leagues, and keep that development moving forward?
Just be himself. You know, we've seen this kid over the last few years, up until last year, and everybody questioned him. Can he play shortstop? Can he do this? Can he do that? This kid would. Those things energize this kid. He wanted to prove people wrong, and he did. You know, he proved last year he's a pretty good shortstop already, his first year in the big leagues, and those are things that make him tick. And he's just kind of run with all the things he's doing now. He's kind of one of those, you know, a kid that looks. You know, this spring it looked like he'd been in the big leagues for 3 or 4 years, not just one. And that's kind of attitude and mentality he has. He's going to continue to get better. He does a little thing. He's another guy that does a little thing to help win ball games, whether it's, you know, going in the hole, making a fantastic play or moving a runner, driving that runner in from third base less than two outs. He's got all the qualifications to be a bona fide big league shortstop.
Nick, you're working with Rick Renteria. How well do you know him? And I see that he's a cook. I was watching some Rick Renteria special. He's you know, doing it up in the kitchen like the guy should be on Chopped or something. How well do you know Ricky?
Well, we go back a long way. We actually played in the Marlins system years ago. When he actually, we were both, I was in Major League camp. He wasn't. I got sent out of Major League camp. They called him up for minor league camp. He actually made the club with the Marlins one year. So we have had history. We had history managing against each other in the Midwest League years ago, I think in 1999. So I do have history with him, but you know, he brought in a different attitude to us for the club this spring, and he speaks from the heart. He has a lot of passion. He's a good baseball man. He's been around for a long time. His cooking, it may be another story. I know he got a lot of attention with his cooking. I haven't tasted any of it, and but he does look good in an apron. So
it looked good. I gotta say, I would eat that dinner all day long. I was impressed by what Ricky was doing in the kitchen. He looked very confident. You got one more for Nick?
Yeah. What does Ricky do that's so? I mean, I guess why is he a good fit for what this team's doing right now? What did you learn about working with him in spring training that you said, okay, this is going to be perfect for what the team needs?
He's just bringing the game of baseball. I'm trying to think of the word that makes more sense. He's just bringing the baseball back to Chicago the way it used to be played, where guys are running hard, they're doing the little things, they're hitting cutoff man. Just the little things, you know, they're prepared, making the club prepared, the fundamentals of the game. He stressed that it's a big importance for him and for the organization and for the Major League club to do the little things. So, you know, we might not have all the talent. We might be behind the eight ball a little bit as far as where people think we're going to be. But he stressed from day one that we're going to do the little things. We're not going to beat ourselves. We're going to play fundamentally sound baseball. We're going to run the bases the right way. We're going to hit a ground ball. We're going to run hard to first base. We're going to back up the bases. We're going to ball hit to the outfield. The pitcher's going to back up, you know, third base, home plate. He stressed the fundamentals, and it's really refreshing to see it happen. The kids bought into it in spring training, and hopefully we see it carry in the season. And knowing Ricky, darn will happen.
Well, somebody's got a surprise, and no one's picking you, so no reason why it can't just be the Chicago White Sox. So good luck with that, Nick. And hey, more importantly, 59 years old you are to finally get a chance to be in the big leagues. That's just awesome for anybody on their own journey, like battling to find their way. And I know I'm sure you were enjoying what you were doing before, but that's just a hell of an honor. So congratulations.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, and hopefully we see a lot of Chicago fans and you guys at the ballpark.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick Capra, third base coach of Chicago White Sox, opening up tomorrow with the Tigers. Adam Hogue will not be there, but his dad might be, and we're going to go see the White Sox later in the week. Damn it. That's what's happening.
Oh, I'll be there plenty.
I know you will.
No, I will be.
I know you will. Hey, Kevin Powell's coming up next from St. Louis, 720 WGN. The first pitch of the back-to-back starts about 2 hours from now. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hogue.
How crazy is that's the Cubs season starts in 2 hours.
I'm so excited.
It doesn't feel like it.
This is like the first time for me that it actually does feel like
really?
It. Yeah, normally I'm like, eh.
All those years where we would blow out opening day here at WGN.
Yeah, but they were always terrible, and they didn't buy into the team at all, even when they were like Soriano and that squad. Like, eh, this is a whole other animal. I'm hoping that I'll be back, you know, World Series, get to hug Kevin Powell in Cleveland, and he can take the video part two.
Did you hug him? Not very professional.
I collapsed. I am not professional.
So did Andy.
Yes. Well, I didn't collapse like Mazur. I don't know what I was. KP, what's up, man?
It was a sight to behold seeing that. At the final out, I look to my right and I see Carmen. It wasn't a full blown faint, but he did sort of just collapse into the chair. And the look on his face, I don't know if I'll ever see someone with that expression ever again in my entire life. It was It was like a sigh of relief more than enjoyment.
Yes.
Is that accurate, Mark Carmen?
It's spot on. It was like, it was just such a relief. It would have been so bad.
Kevin, do you think that the players think about that? Because, like, I keep going back to how close we were. 100%. Like, who knows the direction? I trust Theo Epstein enough that this still would have gotten back on track, but I don't think people understand how messed up this offseason was or would have been. And it's not from a team standpoint. Like, Jed Hoyer told me last week they weren't going to change anything if they had lost, and I believe him when he says that. This was all a plan. But, like,
it's like one of those things where maybe, you know, you're driving late at night and you're on the highway and maybe you drift off for a split second and you open up your eyes and you're like, okay, I'm alive. I avoided disaster. That could have been a lot worse than it was. And everyone's like, no, just, you know, play cool. Nothing to see here. That's kind of how this team is, I'm thinking. That's a good question to ask, though. And I should ask the player, because I was just reminiscing with somebody the other night about what an epic collapse, what an epic disaster that would have been on top of the long list of disasters in the Cubs' history. I mean, that would have been the cherry on top. I mean, I don't even know how the city would have reacted, how fans would have reacted. It would have been ugly. Well, but, yeah, that was close to being a full-blown disaster.
I watched the Rain Man thing again on Comcast, and Theo was talking about it, saying, look, we almost added to the narrative. Yeah. And he absolutely was.
The way he said it was, it's not like I believe there's a curse, but you acknowledge that it certainly adds to that idea. And when I talked to Jed last week in an interview right here, for the B, it was sort of the same thing. It was like you almost go there. Like, you almost go. Like, is there an outside force working against us here? And, like, you could tell there's a sense of relief with those guys that they don't have to battle that anymore.
Yeah, that's accurate. I think they have almost the exact same mindset today as they did on opening day last year. I really do. I mean, Adam, you were at spring training. That was the sense I got, because when I was there last year, it was probably a little bit more loose last year just because Madden was mixing things up. I don't think we saw any of those antics this year. But in terms of, like, I think all of them agree that this should be a dynasty. And people keep bringing up dynasty, and I think that's valid and fair, because when you look at the depth of the team and how much talent there is, I think that's just fine for us guys in the sports media to be talking about, is this going to be a dynasty? Because it should be a dynasty when you look at the amount of talent in the entire farm system and up here in the big. So I think they understand the magnitude of the win, obviously, last year. But for them, I think that's just the first step. I do.
So Joe Maddon with his lineup tonight. Let's talk about the present here for a second. You got Hayward in center batting sixth. Baez in the lineup hitting ninth. I know you were down there with Joe. I saw somebody on Twitter was saying that this is a tribute to the World Series outfield or something along those lines.
Yeah, when asked about the lineup, he said there's nothing to read into it other than the fact that it's a tribute to the World Series. And when you look at the roster or the lineup, it's pretty much everybody who was starting in Game 7, so I believe that's sort of what he was referring to. But at the night of the World Series, I don't think he wanted to put, John Jay in center or something like that. He wanted the guys from last year to all be on the field together. So that was his reasoning. But he also didn't say that you won't see this lineup again. I mean, that's certainly – and I think we're going to see a different lineup every single game almost. I think we could end up seeing 162 different lineups from Joe Maddon, because they can match up their lineup to any opposing pitcher with – you know, the amount of talent they have. I mean, Maddon can go all sorts of routes. You can put Zobrist back in right. You can put him in left some games. You can put Mora out there. I mean, there's so many options. So I think we all sort of anticipated, though, seeing the pitcher batting eighth with hopes that the ninth spot would be on base more to give Schwarber some opportunities with men on base, with Schwarber batting leadoff. So I don't think there was a surprise there, but I don't think there's a whole lot to look into it other than the fact that we're going to see all sorts of variations of lineups with this Cubs team.
Kevin Powell in St. Louis right now covering the Cubs opener. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. He said that you won't see this lineup again?
No. He said he didn't rule that out, that you would see this lineup once again.
Because I look at the lineup and I think this. I'm not saying you should do it every day, but I don't mind it. I like the idea. And by the way, I've been saying this to people like Mark Carmen, who are like all up in arms that Javi Baez isn't going to play every day. I think he is going to play pretty much every day.
I think he's going to be out there all the time. I just was worried that he wasn't going to get to start tonight, and he did because Joe Maddon's cool and he's smart and he realized that I'll just put Hayward in center and we'll do it like this to start because Javi deserves to play. I mean, clearly he did this lineup, I think, mainly to get Baez in there, and he deserved Baez to be in there.
Baez and Zobrist, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put Baez at second and Hayward and Wright and Almora or Jay in center, then Zobrist is the odd man out. So I think there was no way you were going to keep Zobrist out of the lineup tonight.
Yeah,
and of course, you wanted Javi in there, too.
World Series MVP.
Right.
It is fascinating with Javi Baez. This was when I was in Mesa last week, a question that was posed to him the day he got back. I happened to be there, back from the World Baseball Classic, and someone asked him, this has got to be a little weird, Javi. You're the starting second baseman of Team Puerto Rico, like the star of the team, and you come back here to your major league squad, and you're like not even the everyday second baseman. That's weird.
It speaks to the talent of the Cubs, right?
Yeah, it just says how good they are.
Well, it speaks to the talent of the Cubs. It also speaks, like, in a larger sense, when you look at the roster, like if Javi Baez was – it's not really a knock against him. He's just young, and I think he can rely on raw skills quite a bit, as we've seen. But the fact that Baez is just sort of another guy because there is so much talent, and you have Rizzo and Bryant and all the leaders on it. Like, if Javi Baez was the guy that's supposed to be leading your team for a rebuild or something like that, is he the same guy in that scenario as he is now when he's playing amongst stars and, perennial MVP contenders and guys that have been around the league for a while? I don't think so. So I just think this team is such a perfect blend of young and veteran and skill. It's just, I love the makeup of the team.
Any, what's the Cub fan quotient down in St. Louis, Kevin? You seeing a lot of blue?
Oh, a ton of blue, Carmen. I'm surprised you're not down here, but there is a big collection of Cub fans. You know, St. Louis, I think like everybody's doing this now. Ballpark Village, which is just behind left field of Busch Stadium, is this pretty cool spot with a huge bar and fans gather around there. So they've been going, which had me worried a little bit because when I walked out of my hotel, maybe at 11:30 this morning, people were walking around with Budweisers and Bud Lights in their hands. So I don't know what to expect with the crowd tonight, but it could get a little rowdy. This is an all-day Sunday fun day for the Cardinal and Cub fans down here in St. Louis.
God bless them. Get after it at 11:30. All right, KP, how many wins? How many wins for your Chicago Cub?
I'm going to go 97. Feels right. 97 feels right.
I like a 9-7. I'm going 93.
90.
Ooh, wow.
95. I'm playing right down the middle of you two.
Yeah, I'm a little 93 and 69 ain't exactly a bad year. So I think that's 10 less than last year.
Hey, the White Sox won 93 games the year after they won the World Series, and they did not make the playoffs. Something to think about.
True, and I will add this: when Jose Quintana is wearing Cardinal red in a couple months, that's going to be make the Cardinals a much tougher opponent for the Cubs down the stretch.
That could happen.
My hunch is Quintana ends with the Cardinals.
That could happen.
They need more starting pitching.
That absolutely could happen.
More reason for the Cubs to trade for him.
They're not.
Seriously, is that not a perfect match right there?
I think it is.
Play in the same town. I mean, it's exactly what the Cubs want, exactly what they need, and they have all the pieces in the farm system to get him from the White Sox, but nobody wants to do that deal because they play in the same town, I guess.
How many wins you got for your White Sox, Kevin Powell?
Ooh, this one's tricky. I'm gonna go 72.
I agree. I think they're in the 70s. I wouldn't even be surprised if it's mid to high 70s.
Wow. Get some optimism going on here. 67.
It's not really optimism. It's just the thing it's not fair to pin the wins on is it totally depends on when these trades are made.
Exactly. I mean, where are they come August? I mean, towards the deadline. But, Adam, I grew up a Sox fan. I don't keep that a secret. I know you're a Sox fan, Adam. In some weird way, I don't think I've been this excited about a White Sox season in a long time. We know they're going to suck, but I'm still excited about it, especially in a month or two when we see guys like Moncada and some of the other pieces they got this offseason up in the big.
Well,
they finally are going in a direction. Like, they have a clear plan in place. It's not just patch,
patch a roster together with some veterans here and there. It's like this is step one in a major rebuild and trying to do something like what the Cubs did. So it feels good for a Sox fan.
Well, Kev, you missed it. I was looking at buying the minor league baseball package for the month of April.
Hey, I'll split it with you. I'll go halfsies.
Let's do it.
I want to watch the AAA team go undefeated for the first month.
The Charlotte Knights are stacked, man. And it's $13 for the month of April. I'm in.
That's a lot of dough.
Is it really?
$13?
Right. $13 for a month of minor league baseball is not cheap. What do you think? That should be like $3.
I think it's worth it just to watch Morgado play. And by the way, I think you guys would enjoy this because, you know, Cardinal fans can get a bad rep at times. I was talking to this particular Cardinal gentleman last night, and we spark up a baseball conversation. He's a Cardinals fan. We get to the White Sox, and he goes on to tell me that Yoan Moncada could never play for the Cardinals because he doesn't fit into the Cardinal culture, and that Moncada is too flashy because he buys all those fancy cars.
Yeah, okay.
That's about word for word from the Cardinals fan.
Yeah, okay.
The look on my face, and then I pulled up a picture of Albert Pujols standing in front of two decked-out Bentleys. It's like, okay, Matt. All right. Yeah. Okay, the Cardinals culture is too good for Yoan Moncada. The Cardinals fan base right there, folks.
I got one assignment for you, Kevin. Just please go up to Dexter Fowler after the game and tell him that from all Cub fans, we will miss him. We don't really wish him well overall, but we want to thank him and we'll miss him and have a terrible season.
You know, he did joke that Mike Matheny, the Cardinals manager, won't be saying "you go, we go" like Joe Maddon did all of last year about 1,000 times, but he said Fowler said that he would hear Maddon in his head all season saying, "you go, we go." So in some weird way, Joe Maddon is kind of managing the Cardinals, or at least Dexter Fowler somehow. Fowler and Maddon says he's got to come up with something to get that out of Fowler's head. So we'll see if we see Maddon shouting from the dugout or something during the game.
He'll forget soon enough. Hey, Kevin, great stuff, man. We'll be looking for your coverage, WGNRadio.com, and hear you, of course, all over the station as well from down in St. Louis. Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas. See you later.
AP at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, baby.
When we come back, you know, we didn't really finish our predictions.
What did we miss?
We didn't say who we thought was going to the World Series from the American League, and we didn't say who would win the World Series.
Okay.
We should also talk about our MVPs.
And I also want to make mention that I want you to talk about what you called me about earlier today, about how you're more excited to do something this year.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
I didn't say more.
Okay.
I said I'm abnormally more excited about something this year than normal.
It's
not the Charlotte Knights.
Right, it knocks.
Although we've made that clear. I'm excited about that, too.
It knocks at the core, the very foundation of your sports human being. Yes.
No, it's just a little, it's an odd feeling for me.
Okay. I mean, I think this is core work here.
Does anyone have worse jerseys than the Arizona Diamondbacks, by the way?
Weird thought out of nowhere, 720 WGN.
Everybody's going to get a chance to play, like I talked about before this. I think it really gives us opportunity to rest people and feel good about the group that's on the field. We knew that last year we had a deep roster. We have it again this year. The spare parts that are going to be in AAA are definitely going to be utilized at some point. You have to have that depth in order to win and go to the last game of the year and win that, too.
Joe Maddon, earlier today down in St. Louis, you are correct, sir. They will be tapping into that minor league system at some point this year. Adam Hogue, yours truly, Mark Harmon, wrapping it up here.
That Diamondbacks comment came out of nowhere because they're playing right now. They're playing the Giants, which I still find it really weird that there's another game going on right now.
Are you watching on your iPad over there and paying attention to me all at the same time?
Yeah, I think I've done a good job.
You have. You really, really have.
Yeah, thank you.
Better than I would do.
Except for when I randomly blurted out, does anyone have the worst uniforms in the Diamondbacks?
Well, right.
That was the only time where I kind of
just
went completely different direction.
These things happen. Before we get to our MVPs and who's winning the World Series and all that, you asked me today what about your White Sox fandom but yet rooting for the Cubs all at the same time.
No, I was just being – I had a moment of honesty, and I have to say I'm oddly excited for the Cubs season, like more than normal. And I think what's contributing to it is that I know the White Sox are going to be terrible. Not that I'm not going to be watching the Sox, because trust me, when both games are on –
Sox are going to get your attention?
Mostly, but I don't know. Like, what about August when they're, you know, Quintana's gone, hopefully Todd Frazier's gone.
The Cubs are, like, already and 7 up in August.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, all I'm saying is, yeah, look, and I made this perfectly clear during the playoffs last year. I don't know if there's a more fun team in baseball to watch than the Cubs.
They are just so...
Javi Baez is my favorite player in baseball.
Really?
I've said that numerous times. Love watching him play. Part of it is because he's a second baseman.
How do you feel about the new tattoo that Javi's going with? He got the World Series trophy tattooed on his left shoulder. It's a real aggressive play by Gunnar Javi.
Why? He won the World Series.
Do you really want a World Series trophy tattooed on your body for the rest of life?
I'm surprised you didn't do that.
I would never, literally never get a tattoo. If
I won't either. My mom didn't want me to.
I was going to say, like, even for tragic loss or, you know, normal course of time, losing parents, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
A needle to my skin for permanently, no chance. 0% chance. Javi's going World Series trophy left shoulder. Okay.
That's cool.
MLB emblem on the neck. What's he? What are they going to do when he goes three-peat? He's going to have it all over the place?
You got to have three of them,
I guess.
All right, so quickly, because we did our predictions earlier, but we didn't really finish. I said Cubs out of the National League. My World Series pick out of the American League, the Houston Astros. I think they're that good. Most people are going Indians rematch or Red Sox. I think a lot of people are just hoping Cubs-Red Sox World Series because the storylines there are amazing.
I'm picking the Indians. I think the Indians are just stacked.
Who do you got winning?
Cubs.
Cubs? I do too. Cubs over the Astros.
Cubs, you know, in 7 again.
Another team in this town once beat the Astros in the World Series.
2005, baby. Sweep.
It's a long time ago.
Happened, though. It's in the books.
Well, not according to ESPN, it didn't.
That was funny. That was outstanding. What was that? What was their exact line? The first team.
They just, like, during the World Series, they kept putting out all these stats that, like, the first Chicago team in the World Series.
Right.
Like 100.
Well, maybe they just thought that the Sox moved to St. Petersburg, even though they never actually did. Okay, we should take our final timeout. Coming up, but Brian Noonan's apparently he's off tonight. I'm sure he's got something going on. He's getting ready
for the White Sox home opener.
I don't think that's it. Kevin Richter and Michael Heidemann are in. They're coming up next, 720 WGN.